Riley Factor this evening. Thanks for listening today.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sweet Tomatoes. Police this morning discovered the body of an African-American man in an Aurora parking lot. Now the Arapahoe County coroner is trying to determine how the man died. Officers responded to a report of a body lying in the lot at 10782 East Alameda Avenue. That's where they found the dead man, whom they believe was between 25 and 35 years of age. At present, it's unknown whether the death was the result of a homicide, suicide, or by a violent cause. The identity of the victim isn't expected before tomorrow afternoon. What began as a weekend domestic dispute at an Aurora apartment complex resulted in the shooting death of a tenant by a police SWAT team. The officers damaged four units at the Huntington Ridge Apartments at 9900 East Louisiana Drive when they feared a man inside one of the buildings, Alex Valdez, had shot his two hostages. Police eventually forced their way into Valdez's apartment and fatally shot him. Damage was so bad to those adjoining units, several had to be condemned. The families affected are housed today in other apartments of the complex or in other temporary housing. While someone was building a home in Brighton, they stumbled across a fossil. Derived from a triceratops, it's scheduled to be unveiled today at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. One paleontologist at the museum calls it a major discovery, but won't get more specific prior to the unveiling. In their heyday, triceratops were about 30 feet long, 10 feet tall, and weighed in at 6 to 12 tons. Other distinguishing characteristics include a bony skull plate and three horns. John Allen Muhammad has been convicted of murder in connection with last year's sniper shootings in the Washington, D.C. area. Family members of those murdered in last year's sniper shootings each made a brief statement about their loved ones outside the courthouse where Muhammad was convicted. Bob Myers, the brother of the man Muhammad was convicted today of killing, says the verdict helps the victims deal with their tragedy.
This is a huge step in the pursuit of closure. But as I've said before, I would really doubt that full closure ever comes because there's always an open wound remaining.
Myers also said he hoped all the family members of those killed in the attacks would be able to give impact statements to the jury charged with sentencing Muhammad. The penalty phase begins later today. Two American soldiers are dead, two wounded following separate attacks today north of Iraq's capital city. U.S. officials say the attack took place near the town of Balad, which is about 60 miles outside of Baghdad. In Baghdad itself, U.S. troops have been instructed to, quote, be professional, be polite, and be prepared to kill as they continue to look for weapons that could be used against them as part of Operation Iron Hammer. Arnold Schwarzenegger is about to take on perhaps his biggest professional role yet, that of California's governor. The swearing-in ceremony for the former Mr. Universe is getting underway at this time. Don Andrews explains what Schwarzenegger will touch on in his inaugural address.
In his speech, Schwarzenegger will hit on many of the highlights of his campaign. He'll repeat his plans to repeal the state's car tax increase and have lawmakers meet in a special session starting tomorrow. Now, in that session, they'll be asked to deal with the repeal of SB 60, the recently signed legislation that allows illegal immigrants to obtain California driver's licenses, as well as the state's widely criticized workers' compensation laws and the state's dire financial situation.
Thousands are expected to be attending that event, including Hollywood stars who worked with Schwarzenegger during his film career. Vanessa Williams, who co-starred with Schwarzenegger in Eraser, will sing the national anthem at the swearing-in. Presidential shooter John Hinckley's lawyer is again trying to get more freedom for his client. A three-day hearing is underway in federal court to decide if Hinckley, who shot then-President Reagan in 1981, could get unsupervised leaves from a mental hospital to visit his parents and perhaps stay overnight at their home. Hinckley's been hospitalized for more than 20 years. He shot Reagan and three others but was found not guilty by reason of insanity. His attorney says five doctors unanimously agree that Hinckley would pose no danger to himself or others, but federal prosecutors say he has, quote, a history of deception and violence and has fooled psychiatrists before. From the not really a surprise department, wireless phone service providers apparently aren't providing very good service. A survey done for Ohio State University found that about a third of cell phone users gave their cellular service a D or an F grade. Among the nearly 1,200 cell phone users polled, only 4% gave their cellular service an A. In sports, it seems like getting Jake Plummer back in the lineup was just what the Denver Broncos needed as they beat the San Diego Chargers 37-8 yesterday. Next up for the Broncos are the Chicago Bears next Sunday at Invesco Field at Mile High. No game scheduled for Colorado teams today. Tomorrow, the Avs host Anaheim, and the Nuggets will be in Minnesota tomorrow. Get to Sweet Tomatoes this week for a steaming bowl of cream of rosemary potato soup and a warm taffy apple muffin topped with toffee crunch. Oh, so good. Sweet Tomatoes. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm not a personal trainer or a nutrition specialist, but with the lifelong dieting struggles I've had, I consider myself a weight loss expert. I've tried every fad diet out there, low carb, no carb, high fat, high protein. They just didn't work for me. Then my doctor told me about a different kind of program, the Colorado Way. Developed by the Center for Human Nutrition at the University of Colorado, this program has helped hundreds of people just like me. It's a personalized 12-week course led by a registered dietitian, and it meets in my own neighborhood. I learned realistic ways to add proper nutrition and physical activity into my lifestyle. Now I know how to lose the weight and keep it off. If you or someone you know is struggling with weight loss, call 303-892-0128 for a free phone consultation and start living the Colorado way.
Are you ready to lose weight? Look for our ad in the Denver Post and call 303-892-0128 or visit ColoradoWay.com. That's Colorado, WEIGH.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Air National Guard. Got one problem, northbound I-25 at Evans. Watch for that. Might still have some problems at Zunine Spear where they were doing some earlier work on the traffic lights there. Police have been on scene, so just obey them. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job. You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it out online at goang.com. That's goang.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Steneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. There's a high wind warning for the foothills tonight and Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies, a rather gusty wind this afternoon. Our highs will range from 55 to 60. Tonight and Tuesday will stay partly cloudy. We'll stay rather windy, too, especially in the higher elevations. Low tonight, 28. Tuesday's high, 52. Sunny Wednesday, warmer, high, 65. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Steneford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 52 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush is back. I guess rehab just let him out. Rush is back to his same old show we all know about. He did ESPN till they ran him out. And he did lots of pills and he got strung out. Nobody believed him,
but they still retrieved
him. I guess that they need him.
No one to succeed.
Most
him.
Are glad that he's back, except the Democrats. Rush is back.
Rush is back, Rush is back, Rush is back. Rush is back, Rush is back, Rush is back.
12:08, welcome to the Monday semi-gleeful edition of Enid Live, yours until 3 o'clock on AM 1150 KNRC. We have a wonderful jam-packed show for you today. Later, we'll be joined by Will Haygood, who's a Washington Post journalist. He's written a book called In Black and White, The Story of Sammy Davis Jr., a really intriguing story, and the book has gotten a lot of attention. So I'll be interested to talk to Will Haygood. And later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Dana Crawford, who she's got a whole Jack Kerouac thing going on, and we'll be talking to her about that. And she's somebody that we revere in Denver because if it weren't for Dana Crawford, I don't think we would have these restored historic buildings to the extent that we do. And she's the one who restored and preserved Larimer Square. So Dana Crawford will be joining us later in the broadcast. Tomorrow, wonderful novelist, Tobias Wolfe will be with us. Wednesday, Rita Mae Brown, the poet and writer. Friday, Jean Shinoda Bolen, who is a psychiatrist And she has written a book called Crones Don't Whine, Concentrated Wisdom for Juicy Women. And we're going to be joined in a couple of weeks by Clive Cussler, who is a big favorite of a lot of you. And so all of that coming up. Simon Winchester on the making of the Oxford English Dictionary had to cancel due to illness. So he is not even, I assume, is not even going to be on his book tour right now. But that's what's coming up, all that and much more. Well, I was on Fox News over the weekend, and it didn't really come together until after my show on Friday, so there wasn't a way for me to alert you to it, except that I think Doug Kellett mentioned it on his show, and I think probably Dominic and Billy mentioned it on their show. The two topics that they wanted me to talk about on Fox News, is Arnold Schwarzenegger and Rush Limbaugh. Well, we start out with Rush, and there was so much breaking news, we really never got to Arnold. And I swear to you, doing television is like, here's what Gore Vidal, the wonderful writer, said. He said, never turn down an opportunity to have sex or go on television. Well, I can tell you that being on TV is like having sex in that it takes hours to prepare. You got to get yourself all gussied up. You got to remember what you're going to say. You know, your looks, the makeup, get over there. And then it's over in about 3.5 minutes in this case. So that was the end of that. What he was asking me, and the host of the show is former Congressman John Kasich. John Kasich talked about whether Rush was whether it was good that he was coming back to work, and I said that the Rush is rushing back to work too soon. That he is really a money machine for Premiere, which is owned by Clear Channel. That there are a lot of people who stand to make a lot of money off of him. They don't want to further erode their advertisers or their audience. They have managed to keep both pretty much intact. And so I imagine that the pressure on him to return as quickly as possible was immense. But if you were going through rehab, let me just tell you, you can get your... He's been on drugs for at least a decade, I think, or very close to it. And you can get your body off of those drugs in 30 days, but you don't get your mind off of them that quickly. I mean, think about everything you ever try to do. Any habit you try to change. Think about when you tried to quit smoking and how tough that was. Think about it whenever you're thinking about losing weight, how tough that is. And these are changes you really want to make, and the food is probably not as addictive as these forms of hillbilly heroin, like OxyContin. So here he is in the recidivist rate. In other words, the relapse rate for drug addicts in that first year is enormous. I've heard figures as high as about 80% of people who were users fall off the wagon within that first year. But here he is. Rush says he's back. I heard a little bit of what he was purported to have said, and that he wished he had known this stuff in the first grade and the second grade. But I think he's coming back too soon, and this is just the beginning for him. He's got a whole host of legal problems he's going to have to face, and one of them is he going to have to roll over and testify against various people who sold him drugs. And, you know, think about the asset seizure law, the asset forfeiture law. He lives in a $24 million estate, and if he's using, these are legal drugs, so maybe it doesn't apply, but, you know, if they find just a little bit of a joint on your zillion-dollar boat, the government can seize your boat. The government can seize your home. So he's back. Drugs, remember, chemically alter your brain. I knew a talk host in Austin who had a drug problem, Austin, Texas, and he went into rehab as a liberal, and when he came out, he was, to everybody's dismay and amazement, a conservative. And I think in order to affect a real rehab, I think in that 12-step program, you got to be honest, don't you? And remember this, Rush had a secret he was keeping from the audience. It's kind of like finding out your beloved has been cheating on you. Can you ever fully trust that person again? You kind of want to. And the people who are making so much money off of him are going to keep him isolated. So you're really never going to know if he falls off the wagon. You didn't know he was off the wagon to begin with. People came as a big surprise, even to his closest friends, that he had a drug problem. And that he was an addict. So he was able to mask that from his audience. But a real healing, it seems to me, has to do with honesty and transparency. And the pressures he's in, doing the work he's doing, will mitigate against all of that because they're going to want him to work and bring in those dollars no matter what. And the truth is they don't really care if he's addicted or not. They just want the money. They'll say, oh, we care, and he means so much to us. And guess what? Can you spell BS? That's however much they say it and how much they think they mean that when they say it. They really there are too many people dependent on their dependent on Rush for their livelihoods. So here's all this pressure for him to come back. So here are my questions. Will the audience ever fully trust him? I mean, they want to. He's their standard bearer. They can't believe that he revealed himself to be hypocritical, so they're sort of ignoring it, hoping it was just a one-time deal. But you know, he's not Johnny Cash. For some performers, it's a career move to go into rehab, and Johnny Cash used to go into and out of, and you prayed for him, and you hope he wasn't going to conk out, and he looked so terrible, and the Ring of Fire, and the Man in Black, and so on. But for a guy like Rush, I don't think it's a career move. It's a little bit like Bill Bennett, who was so moralistic until he was outed as having a gambling Jones. He, too, was an addict, but it was a different kind of an addict. If you are a Rush listener, I assume you're probably over there listening right now, or you might be cruising back and forth, but I would like to hear from you, 303-382-1150. And, of course, the odd thing is that he should have a tremendous listenership today because those who have been his devoted audience and fans will want to hear everything he has to say, will want to hang on every word that he utters, and will want to be able to justify their blind devotion to somebody who... Now, Rush is saying that because he was an addict, he never really went after people who had addictions. So that what everybody is saying about him is a lie, that he never said that you deserve jail time if you were an addict, but there were people who had lots and lots of quotes around. And the other thing that Rush did is he slimed criminal defense attorneys for the last dozen years. And let me tell you something. The minute he was in the soup, who did he hire? Roy Black, big-time criminal defense attorney. So his legal troubles aren't over. In a lot of ways, he's been hypocritical. You know, I said on Fox, did anybody see it? Do they have more than three or four viewers here in Denver? I said on Fox that, you know, he must have been in tremendous pain. You got to feel sorry for him because he was in such tremendous pain that he was willing to jeopardize everything, his career, his hearing, in order to keep the addiction going. 303-382-1150. So here's what's going on. Your brain is chemically altered when you've been on drugs for as many years as he has been on drugs. You have, in order to really be, in order to really heal yourself, you've got to be completely honest and you've got to apologize to people. You ought to apologize to your listeners. I don't know if he's done it. If you've heard him, I can't hear him right now. But if he has apologized, he owes his listeners an apology because he was dishonest with them. He was operating under false pretexts. And here is somebody who slimed criminal defense attorneys for the last dozen or so years. And then, you know, he's got legal problems. He's got a lot of problems ahead of him. He's got the problems of keeping those cravings in check so that he can do his work, of keeping his healing going, of not falling off the wagon, the immense pressures of the work that he is doing and the cash cow and money machine that he is for Premier. And believe me, those are enormous pressures. They just signed him to an 8-year contract at roughly $300 million. So they're paying him that much because he's making even more for them. And, you know, the question is, you know, here he's kept his secret from his audience, and the question is, can they ever really trust him again? Let's go right to the phones and to Jim calling from Denver. Jim, hi, you're live with Enid. Jim? Wait a minute. There you go. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Jim. I think we're having some phone problems here today. Welcome to the broadcast.
I just wanted to comment on some things you're saying about addiction that are incorrect. I went through treatment for Valium addiction. Mm-hmm. Okay, back in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a Valium since. And Valium is an extremely addicting drug. Now, when I went through the program for 30 days and they let me out, if I didn't have work to go back to, I would have failed miserably.
Yeah, but for some people, work is a good thing and for some people it isn't. So experts say it's 50-50.
But who are you to decide what's right for Rush or not? I mean, who are you to say 30 days is going to work for him or it's not? Have you ever been addicted? Have you been through treatment?
No, just chocolate is my only is my drug of choice.
Well, I was on Valium, and trust me, there is nothing more painful than coming off of a drug like that you were addicted to for 7 years.
But let me just, Jim, let me just tell you something here. I'm quoting the experts here, and they say that it's 50-50. For some people, coming back this soon is way too soon. For other people, work is a salvation. I happen to know what Rush does for a living because I do it myself, and I know what the pressures are. And I think the pressures are immense, and they're even greater for somebody like him because he is a cash cow. So I think that part of the healing, part of your healing has to do with being completely honest as well. Did you go through a 12-step program?
Yes, I did.
And don't you agree with that?
Yes, but keep in mind that the 12-step program and the treatment that you go through after the initial 30 days is a very personal thing that you need to do for yourself. It's not something that the public can do for you or help you in any way. If Rush really wants to beat this, then he'll go through the 12-step program, continue to do that.
Are you a Rush listener?
Yes, I am.
And did you listen today?
Yes, I did.
And so you came over...
I had to call you because I knew you were going to make some comments. I listened to you from about 12 to 12:30,
mm-hmm.
Then have to go back to work. But I knew you'd make some comments about this today, and I was bound and determined to call.
Well, Jim, I'm glad that you did, and thanks for doing it. 303-382-1150. I still think he's come back way too soon. I think that he has a very great likelihood of falling off the wagon. You'll never know it, though, because they're going to isolate him, the people that make so much money off of him. You never knew it before when he was an addict, and you won't know it now if he falls off the wagon, though I would think that healing, real healing, will demand honesty on his part. But could he admit it a second time? Joe, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with... wait a minute. We really have got problems here. Okay, there you go. Calling from Westminster, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, thanks, Enid.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm not surprised that Rush Limbaugh came back so quickly. I think it's, I doubt if he's completely over OxyContin, but I think it's a matter of his greater addiction winning out over beating the OxyContin addiction. And the greater addiction, I think, is that he cannot live or stand not to be on doing his radio show.
Well, there was a story. The Tabs did have a story on him in rehab and that he was a little bit bombastic. Let me see. He says, I'm tired of living a lie. That's what he said in rehab. And by the way, they had him at Sierra Tucson, but he's really in a place called the Meadows, and they don't say where the Meadows is located. Oh, it's in Arizona. And charges nearly $40,000 for an intensive 5-week 12-step program. He was overheard telling one patient who just celebrated his 26th birthday, God, I wish I would have checked into rehab a lot sooner when I was much younger like you. So it suggests that he's been an addict for a lot longer than we think. At one point when Rush was asked if he was eager to get back to work on his radio show, he said, I can't even think about that now. I have much bigger things to deal with. He was chain-smoking Marlboro Lights the whole time, and the only time he perked up is when he talked about Bill Clinton saying that if anyone needs to be in a place like this, it's Bill Clinton, implying that the former president was a sex addict. Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it always comes back to Bill Clinton, of course.
Well, Bill Clinton's probably the reason for his addiction.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Clinton's fault.
Yeah, it's Clinton's fault.
But, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just get the, you know, and from what you said about meeting him personally, you know, that he's, you know, quite withdrawn and shy.
Very shy, almost painfully so, and quite nice, so different from the bombastic personality. At least that's the appearance the impression you get upon meeting him. And I have to say that I guess we all have different aspects of our personality, but for him to be so bombastic on the air and to be so utterly different and so lonely, and they paint a lonely picture of him in rehab, and he doesn't seem to even have friends even before rehab, to paint such a lonely picture of somebody, the honesty that's demanded of, that's required for healing would, I think, require those two very disparate parts of himself to somehow come together, and I don't know if they will.
Yeah, I don't think he has that. I mean, I really think he's sort of like the Andy Griffith character in A Face in the Crowd. You know that movie? He lives off of being, you know, this media cult figure to, you know, his audience. I think he's miserable when he can't do that. I don't think he really has an authentic existence.
He may not.
Outside.
He may not. A friend of mine who's
behind that microphone.
Oh, I thank you, Joe, for the call. He may not. A friend of mine who's a producer ran into him in New York on the street. Rush is somebody who has been quoted as saying he, the only thing he likes about New York, he doesn't go to the museums, he doesn't go shopping, he doesn't do any of the cultural things, go to the theater that you do in New York. He loves New York for one reason only. You can get any kind of takeout food in the world and it can be there in about 7 minutes. That's and my friend, the producer, ran into him in New York on the street, and Rush was carrying a big bag of takeout. So I rest my 303-38. You know what kind of a life is that? 303-382-11. He's making zillions of dollars, and it all gets spent on takeout. 303-382-11-50. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing like that we've seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, who died. It was great.
It looked painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences are roaring with laughter. The Penis extends at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves it's good, clean fun.
Hurry and get your tickets to Puppetry of the Penis. The last performance in Denver is November 23rd, so act fast.
Well, can you imagine a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the Penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at SalvationArmyUSA.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass. I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1228 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours. Until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast, we'll be looking at the life of Sammy Davis Jr., a very provocative biography by Washington Post reporter Will Haygood. And Dana Crawford, Denver icon, will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. It's all about a celebration of Jack Kerouac's life. He wrote On the Road in Denver, which I really wasn't aware of. And she's doing a whole Jack Kerouac celebration and all kinds of stuff going on. So we'll be talking to her and Lofts, too. So if you're looking for a place to live, that's it. Let's go to the phones. There's one line open. The lines are full. Grab at 303-382-1150. We're talking about Rush. Rush is back. Rush rushed back a little bit too soon. In my view, we'll see what happens, but we probably will never know whether he falls off the wagon or he doesn't. And can you really ever fully trust him again if you've been a devoted fan of his? Because he kept a secret from you. It's sort of like finding out your beloved has cheated on you. you don't really want to hear it, and you're going to see how it goes from here on out, but I think it's the beginning of a kind of erosion. I don't know. What do you think? Joan, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. Oops, there you go. Hi, Joan.
Hi.
Sorry, we're having problems with the phones. And
Oh, that's okay. This whole thing with Rush to me is about nothing more than hypocrisy. You know, I wouldn't even expect honesty out of him, but he's such a hypocrite. Hypocrisy and arrogance. And I just wanted to point out to you, I'd sent it to you in an email. There is an article on his website.
Uh-huh.
They have a scheduled event in Los Angeles to honor Rush, and this article compares him to Winston Churchill.
Oh, yes, you did send it to me, and I printed it out, and I've got to find it in this whole pile of stuff that I've got.
And I want to, I just, in my mind, I've got to compare an Honor Rush rally to all the thousands of people sitting in prison.
Now, who is, now, here, now, this, on November 21st, the Claremont Institute, is this the one you sent me?
Yes.
We'll honor Rush Limbaugh with our Statesmanship Award. Well, maybe they could. It's the sponsored by OxyContin. One of our heroes, Abraham Lincoln, frequently reminded his countrymen that our government rests in public opinion. Few Americans in recent memory have done more on a daily basis to sustain and invigorate a healthy public opinion in this country than Mr. Limbaugh, known fondly to us all as Rush. So they are going to honor him with their Statesmanship Award.
And did you see the part where they're comparing him to Sir Winston Churchill?
I didn't get to that part of it yet. Oh, yes, here it is. Let's see. The buoyancy and optimism that infuse all of Rush's commentary, the unfailing good cheer in a good cause that uplifts the spirit of conservative millions every day, are reminiscent of the irrepressible spirit of the man whose life we gather here annually to celebrate, Sir Winston Churchill. Oh, my God. Was he on OxyContin, too, do you think? Cigars, yes. But I don't think they had OxyContin then. And then they have also said here that in an overwhelmingly liberal media, Rush has brought to unprecedented millions of listeners a conservative point of view year in, year out on virtually every significant issue, trenchantly, intelligently, wittily, and inimitably. Listen, I have caught Rush in so many lies in areas that I am conversant in. The areas that I'm not conversant in, I can't really address. But there are subjects that I know something about, and when I hear him talking about them, they're utterly distorted. Mm-hmm. So I'm amused. Thank you for sending this, Joan.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Bob, calling from Colorado Springs. Hi, you're live. You're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
After hearing that last little bit, I may gag a couple of times while I'm talking to you because that's about disgusting. My biggest thing is like what I have through this whole ordeal. They constantly refer to prescription drugs, and that was not his prescription.
That's right. He obtained these drugs. Now I'm assuming he illegally obtained these drugs. He got netted in a criminal. A deal there that was going on, a drug ring that was going on.
The way I understand it, he was never prescribed OxyContin. He was given Vicodin or something like this, and that was the access was to the OxyContin through his maid or whatever. And it's amazing to me. I hear this stuff. I listen to these guys. They talk about how he was so stand-up kind of guy. The day before it's going to be announced in the newspaper, he steps up and says...
It was already announced. It was in two installments in the National Enquirer. They broke the story. At the first installment that happened, he said he really couldn't comment on essentially on advice of his attorney until because it was a criminal investigation. And then after the second one broke, that's when... or. Right before one of the two, I can't remember, that is when he admitted that he had a drug problem and that he was going in for rehab. So he nipped it in the bud right away. Crisis public relations.
And I hate to say this, but from now on we're going to hear this propaganda machine spewing all this garbage about his righteousness and his handicap or his ability to be so stand-up kind of guy that he's going to be.
He only admitted it because he was caught. He wasn't admitting it in at least the decade before. He's been using, I think he said, since 95. I thought that's what he said. But the National Enquirer, given the remark that Rush made to a fellow patient at rehab, the suggestion is he's been using for a lot longer than that.
Well, no doubt, because he's obviously got an addictive personality about something. So.
And your brain chemistry has changed after you become an addict.
Sure. And the other thing that's interesting to me is like, you know, they've got the, like you talk about Bill Owens, you know, he's got the girlfriend and all this other stuff. Well,
we don't know for sure. It's a rumor is what we're saying.
The rumor has it that he has a girlfriend. Well, I think quite honestly he's prepping himself for the White House in about 4 to 6 years or 8 years because of the fact that, you know, we'll brush it aside at some point. He'll have the
Yeah, but can you go to the White House with a separation if you don't get back together again?
No, well, sure. I mean, Newt Gingrich has had how many wives? And he was the leader of that
three
of the House. And you know,
yeah, but he wasn't president. Different.
No, he was
slightly,
you know,
different.
Only the third man down. You know, most powerful.
Yeah, but it still wasn't the president.
No,
what do you think about Rush? Is he rushing back to work too soon?
Yes.
I think so.
No, because that's what he needs. You know, the point is that the sad part about it is that's what he needs, and the sad part about it is all these people are going to rally around him as if he's done everything hunky-dory, and then he's going to have to continue to be this person that he is not.
It's possible that he's a sort of Chauncey Gardner-like, Zelig-like creature in that he doesn't actually exist except for when he's behind the microphone.
It could be. You know,
I mean, there's nothing there until he gets behind the microphone, and then you hear all the bombast and everything that is not evident in his day-to-day transactions with people.
And his life is scripted.
Well, I in what way is his life scripted?
Because of the fact that he knows his response to what it should be. That doesn't mean that the reality is there where that's really him.
All right, Bob, we leave it there. I thank you for the call. And finally, very quickly, Mike in Denver. Hi, Mike. You're live with Enid.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Now, to start off with, I'm not a Rush Limbaugh listener, and this is my first time never ever listening to your show.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have something for you. Just a minute. There you go. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
I guess you're rendered speechless by that kiss. But
I couldn't tell what it was, to be true with you. I just moved to Denver, and actually I was going across the dial looking for a station and heard you talking about Rush, and you made a comment that I disagree with, and that was about that his fans will have to forgive him. And I don't understand why they would have to do any forgiveness.
Because in a way he was living a lie?
Well, most people do. And
so you don't think that his fans are owed an apology for his not being honest? I mean, I think they rely on his honesty or the appearance of his honesty. And he is, in a very serious way, he was being dishonest with his audience.
Sure. But I think most people do that in some way or another, particularly in a situation like he has.
So a lot of people lie, too. But are we advocating lying? Are we advocating cheating? People do those. But he sets himself up as a kind of paragon, excellence in broadcasting, talent on loan from God.
Well, my understanding of him is he puts himself as a paragon of political opinion. And his opinion, his fans are there because of his opinion and his political views.
Well, they are there for a lot of reasons. They're there to have a big bully ambulatory 400-pound gorilla when he was a 400-pound gorilla as a flagship for themselves, an ambulatory logo for their point of view. So they're willing to cut him every kind of slack in the world, but really...
Sure, and that's why they're not going to have to apologize to remain his fans.
He's no, not...
Or,
he,
not
I, think he's,
to
I think he's going
to
have to apologize.
They're not going to have to forgive him. I know a few people that are avid fans,
uh-huh.
And believe me, he doesn't have to get their forgiveness at all.
He walks on water.
Yes, he does.
Okay, Mike, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Home Depot At Home Services. The man who's accused of assaulting flight attendants waived today's preliminary hearing. Leonard Sanford is suspected of getting drunk and attacking the flight attendants while traveling on Frontier Airlines from Phoenix to Denver. The Arapahoe County coroner is trying to determine the identity and cause of death for a man whose body was found in an Aurora parking lot this morning. Police say the African-American male is between 25 and 35 years of age. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided not to review a Denver affirmative action law. The law benefits businesses owned by women and minorities who seek construction contracts in the Mile High City. The white owner of a construction company had challenged the law more than 10 years ago, contending that it was a form of unconstitutional discrimination. In sports, no games for Colorado teams today, but tomorrow the Avs will host Anaheim and the Nuggets will be in Minnesota.
Minnesota. Get up to a $1,000 rebate by mail on qualified Trane heating and cooling systems. Call the Home Depot at Home Services at 1-800-79-DEPOT. License number available upon request. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Denver Rescue Mission. Broadway and Evan still working an accident. I also got one Sheridan and Jewel and Colorado and 7 still trying to clear that accident northbound I-25 at Downing. The Denver Rescue Mission, serving the poor and needy for over 110 years. Donate your car to the Denver Rescue Mission and support a program that cares for the less fortunate while enjoying great tax benefits. Call Rachel at 303-297-1815. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. There's a high wind warning for the foothills tonight and Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies, a rather gusty wind this afternoon. Our highs will range from 55 to 60. Tonight and Tuesday will stay partly cloudy. We'll stay rather windy, too, especially in the higher elevations. Low tonight, 28. Tuesday's high, 52. Sunny Wednesday, warmer, high, 65. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenifford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 52 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Buying a new home or refinancing your current one can be a daunting task. It's all about money. You want to make the investment work for you. And since 1987, Carla and Peter Diamond of Cherry Creek Mortgage have been leading teams of mortgage experts for folks just like you to create strategies that make money. Instead of working to buy your house works for you. To pay for education, outstanding bills, the down payment, remodeling, or just to roll back into an early payoff. Carla and Peter Diamond of Cherry Creek Mortgage know the strategies and the market. Take it from me, they're the best people to have on your team. You owe it to yourself to call them and ask them about the 10 questions you should ask your mortgage broker before choosing a new home loan. Ask about the most current refinancing strategies. Call today. You'll thank yourself that you did. Here's that number. Write it down and call today. 331-4466. 303-331-4466. Carla and Peter Diamond of Cherry Creek Mortgage. Our equal housing lenders.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with 7 great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavie, and White House Black Market.
He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton, near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's deep losses in a holding pattern this hour. Right now, the Dow is down 123 points. There is only one positive Dow-listed stock. It's Boeing, up 35 cents a share. S&P 500 down 13 points. The NASDAQ is down almost 2% or 36 points. More than three of every four stocks are losers today, both at the NYSE and at the NASDAQ. Analysts blaming stepped-up activity by terrorists in the Middle East for the down sentiment today. The second company has reached a settlement with federal regulators over mutual fund trading abuses. Morgan Stanley agreeing to write a check for $50 million to be paid to fund shareholders. The Securities and Exchange Commission had charged Morgan with steering customers toward funds that paid commissions. Right now, Morgan's stock is down 28 cents a share. Once again, the Dow is down 124, S&P 500 losing 13, the NASDAQ is off 36. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1244 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We'll be talking about Sammy Davis Jr. in the next hour. Will Haygood is the Washington Post reporter who has done this terrific biography of him and very revealing biography of him, is right now at a press club luncheon, Bookbeat. And as soon as he is finished, he'll be scampering over here and we'll be talking with him. And he'll be at Tattered Cover tonight at Lodo, 7:30. And a little later in the broadcast, Denver icon Dana Crawford will be joining us. He has the Kerouac Lofts that are in the process of coming into existence, and a celebration of Jack Kerouac coming up as well on the 23rd of November, and I'm going to be there. We'll talk to her and find out all about that and all about Jack Kerouac and the Beats and all that great stuff. And that's coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Later in the week, Rita Mae Brown will be joining us, Jean Shinoda Bolen, Tobias Wolff, who is a terrific novelist, and other guests as well as news breaks. We've been talking about Rush, and I just got this email from Ben. Oh, this is so bad. Ben emails me the following. Everybody should send their unused Vicodin and OxyContin to poor old Rush. Most of us who have oral surgery have at least a few pills left when we decide that we no longer want to feel stoned all the time and decide to deal with the pain. Really? 303-382-1150. And then this email from Jack. Jack says, it really doesn't matter what Rush says today. We know it will be a gross simplification and opinions that his listeners can clearly see whatever he says. The heads will be so gratified that he's back that they'll be dancing in the street. You know who are his worst enemies right now? His fans, because they want him back. And it's a lot of pressure to come on back when you are this fragile in a, and the pressures to do talk radio every single day are immense. I'm here to tell you that. And at Rush's level and the cash machine, the cash cow that he is, the money machine that he is for Clear Channel, huge pressures. They didn't want to, Clear Channel really didn't want to lose, erode the advertiser base, and they didn't want to erode the audience base. So I think probably his listeners have suffered a loss of innocence, and I think his greatest enemies are the conservatives who want him back too soon. They missed him. Think about that. And I've seen a figure of as high as 80% of people who relapse the first year out, you know, first within that first year when they've gone through rehab. 303-382-1150. Rex calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rex.
First time I've called you.
Oh, it
first
is.
Time I, first time I've listened to you, so you can give me a kiss, too.
Okay. There you go.
I heard that somewhere before. I was just, you were talking about Rush, and I was, of course, listening to him because it's first day back.
Are you typically a Rush listener?
I'll catch maybe half an hour of his program every day or so.
And how did you find me? Were you just surfing?
Yeah, well, I have you on my push buttons on my car.
Oh, this isn't the first time. Is this the first time you actually called?
It's the first time I've talked to you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome.
I listen to other things on your station once in a while. It's just when I get annoyed with something that's going on, I just push it over to the other one. But I was glad to see Rush back, but he's talking about himself today, and I'm not particularly interested in that.
Well, what do you have to say about himself?
Oh, I think he was just going on and on and on about his rehab, and that's not a big part of my life. I like to listen to his analysis about politics because he's usually right on the button. But when he talks about himself, I get bored with it.
Well, maybe there's less there than meets the eye, and maybe you know, when you give up one addiction, sometimes you go into another one. A lot of people start chain smoking, and they described him as chain smoking during his rehab. Now, I don't know if he was a cigarette smoker before his rehab. We would see him with cigars, but whether he was a cigarette smoker, I do not know. But I think he started losing.
From what I gather, he smokes cigars a lot.
Yeah, and but he started losing weight. He started losing weight. I'm guessing if the timeline is right, around the time that he got hooked on these drugs.
Probably.
So it's possible that you will substitute one addiction for another, and maybe he'll just he'll start chowing down again. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I quit smoking. I don't know how long ago, 25 years ago or so.
Do you know what they say about nicotine addictions, Rex? It's as bad as heroin.
Oh, it is. But I've got it whipped now. I only think about a cigarette about once every 2 hours.
Well, that's a point. Rush, what do you think he's thinking about right now? You think when he gets off the air, he isn't thinking about getting high?
Yeah, you can fight it, but you can't quit thinking about it.
That's right. I thank you for the call. Call us again. 303-382-1150. I want to ask you this question. When you get off drugs, if you've ever been through rehab, I have not, so I can't address it. But it seems to me you're thinking a lot about drugs. And the other thing is, and somebody made this observation, that if he's doing it to get high, his audience might not forgive him. If he's doing it to mitigate his pain, they might. But where's the line? You know, at what point he's doing it to feel better, and it's sort of like getting high, getting mellow. I don't see that there's a lot of difference there, although I'm sure his followers will want to make it sound like there's a big difference. And also, I want to thank Preston, our listener. Preston is incredible. A friend of mine from San Francisco called. Preston called Barbara Simpson's show at KSFO in San Francisco to mention me. And Barbara and I have known each other for a long time, and I don't think she knew I was in Denver. So I guess she said hello via Preston. So thank you for that, Preston. There I was on Fox News and also on KSFO, sort of inadvertently. And Preston, one of our really devoted listeners, has sent me a couple magazines where he has written letters to the editor that have been published, and he references KNRC and he references me. And so I really thank him. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate our goodwill ambassadors more than you know, because we're a brand new radio station. Tell everybody you know about us. We're just about a year and a half old. Earl, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Oh, wait, there you go. Hi, Earl. Sorry about that.
Oh,
we're having some technical problems today.
Oh, okay. I just got done listening to Rush's program. I was going to let people know that you two don't have to compete because, you know, when the other channel has it on during you, well, it's broadcast out of Wyoming at 9 o'clock. So I listened to all but the last 10 minutes and then switched it over to you.
What's the station, the dial position in Wyoming?
I didn't know whether you wanted it said. Sorry.
What is it? 690?
That way.
690?
Yeah, 650.
650.
He's from 10 till 1.
Oh.
And so, you know, it's a rerun on your.
On the Walmart across the way.
Brand X or however you call it.
We call it the Walmart across the way. It's stale by the time they air it. All right, so tell me, what was your take on what he had to say?
Your earlier caller, the guy that was just there, I'm kind of that way too, because I push the buttons when, you know, I push around. And Rush was pretty much describing, you know, his stay and that he is an addict and that, you know, it's something that he'll have to work with and everything, but he was pretty much, he wasn't on political issues too much. He did the governor of California, Arnold's inauguration, they cut in for that, and he talked about that a little bit, but it was pretty generic.
What's interesting is I've been watching the CNN monitoring Arnold's inauguration in Sacramento, where I lived and had a show, and one of the announcers, the MC, is a very familiar voice to me. It was Stan Atkinson, a longtime news anchor, now retired in Sacramento, who, it happens, is one of Rush's close friends. And what we heard when Stan retired is that Rush bought him a brand new Mercedes-Benz. Because Stan had been a friend to Rush when Rush was nobody, when Rush was just slogging along, had been fired from every place in the world. Now he had a shot in Sacramento, and he was just real overweight, real, and Stan, I think, befriended him. They became friends, and when Stan retired, the word we heard is that Rush bought him a Mercedes.
Yeah, well, it was like you were saying last week that you met him once and he's real shy.
He was at Stan's going away party, the retirement party. There was a big public event for Stan, who you probably saw emceeing the inauguration of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then there was a private party afterward. Rush was with his bodyguard. He said something at the public event. And then afterward, there was a private party in a private room of a restaurant. And there was the bodyguard. If Rush went to the men's room, the bodyguard went to the men's room. And he was just sort of off in a corner, and people really didn't approach him. And he was just kind of like a bump on a log. It was very surprising to me.
Yeah, I think, probably when it comes to his recovery and his personal attributes, being shy like that and being generous to help your friend, your mutual friend, I think he'll do all right. Because, like I told you when I called that one time, I've been 10 years clean off of methamphetamines that I did like a crazy man for 6 years. And once that switch goes off in you, you know, and you say, that's enough.
Is your brain chemistry different? Because the addiction specialists say that your brain chemistry is altered.
I don't really think so. I think it depends. A lot of it has to do with your gene pool and your will and all that. Like, I've always had a very, very good memory and cognitive ability, and once I cleaned up, it all came back.
But Earl, we're going to have to leave it there.
They're a lot different,
yeah.
I think.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. I thank you very much for calling. Thanks for the report. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
In depth and in Denver, AM 1150 KNRC.
It's estimated that over 30 million men in America suffer from poor sexual performance, or PSP, a common problem that affects adult men of all ages. The good news is science and nature have now come together to produce a new, all-natural drug-free option so men never have to experience PSP, poor sexual performance, ever again. Introducing all-new Procylon, a scientific blend of herbs and nutrients uniquely formulated to help promote sexual vigor and enhance sexual performance. Quickly and in the privacy of your own home, all-natural Procylon helps improve stamina, urge, and desire. And it's guaranteed to work for you. Maximize your performance with Procylon. Call now for your risk-free trial of Procylon at 1-800-701-4022. It's easy, completely confidential, and it'll work for you, guaranteed. Call 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022.
This is your 30-second Vanguard Insight on spotting illusions. When comparing mutual funds, a high return is only high if it's still there after expenses and taxes. After all, if you don't get to keep it, did you really make it? So always ask, how much of this is mine? Then call 1-888-VANGUARD or visit us at Vanguard.com and invest in our way of investing.
Call for prospectus for more information and read it carefully before you invest. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Shalom Denver has been serving the Denver business community since 1955 in the areas of mailing services, assembly, and packaging. Shalom provides employment, training, and job placement opportunities to people with disabilities, resettled immigrants, and people moving from welfare to work. If your business needs help with mailing services, packaging, or assembly work, contact Shalom Denver at 303-623-0251 or go online to www.shalomdenver.com.
Join the FedEx family at $11 an hour. Call 303-287-4279 or visit FedEx Ground just minutes from Commerce City off I-76 and 88th Avenue, 2 miles east of Mile High Flea Market.
Talk to Alan Combs.
If I were running the Democratic Party, I would have the Democratic candidates for president talking about the need for border security, the need for airport security, the need to protect our homeland. Now we're hearing about possible Al-Qaeda attacks, but they're not raising the color level because they know that that's become a joke. I mean, the Republicans have done a very good job in terms of their image on security and military matters, but I think a lot of people do feel vulnerable, and I believe that that's not being addressed by the leadership right now.
Alan Combs, late night, starting at midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1258 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And what is in store for us today? We have lots to talk about. We haven't even gotten to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Did anybody watch the Fox News show I was on Saturday night? No, you were probably out having a really good time. But we were supposed to talk about two topics, Rush and Arnold. we never got to Arnold, but I have a few things I want to say about Arnold. Arnold is amazing, and we'll be talking about that in the next hour. And also, we're going to be joined later in the next hour by Will Haygood. He's a Washington Post reporter. He's written a biography of Sammy Davis Jr. that you've been reading about all over the place. It's been in all the Denver papers and in the New York Times as well. And Sammy Davis Jr. was a member of the Rat Pack, the whole Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin crowd. And his public life was very different from his private life, and we'll find out about that later. In the broadcast, we're also going to be joined by my good friend Dana Crawford, talking about Jack Kerouac and the Beat Poets, and a big event that Dana's going to be part of, and I'm going to be there too. So all of that coming up. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. You can always join the conversation, 303-382-1150. We've been talking about Rush, who I think is rushing back to work a little bit too soon, but we'll see what happens. How will we ever know? I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Colorado has a new director of public safety. Governor Bill Owens appointed Joe Morales as the new executive director of the Colorado Department of Safety this morning. Morales comes to the job after serving as Summit County Sheriff for the last 23 years. During a brief press conference at the Capitol, Morales says his biggest concern is keeping Coloradans safe from terrorism.
We've all been impacted by that. We've all become more vigilant, but it's one of our most important tasks right now.
Morales replaces Sue Menser, who was nominated by President Bush for the director of the Office of Preparedness position in the Homeland Security Department. In his new position, Morales will oversee the Colorado State Patrol, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, the Division of Criminal Justice, and the Office of Preparedness, Security, and Safety. An affirmative action law in Denver is still in force. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided not to review the law. It benefits businesses owned by women and minorities who seek construction contracts in the Mile High City. The white owner of a construction company had challenged the law more than 10 years ago, contending that it was a form of unconstitutional discrimination. Chief Justice William Rehnquist and Justice Antonin Scalia dissented, expressing concern that by deciding not to review the Denver case, the High Court effectively overruled a decision that upheld racial preferences in college admission practices. A man accused of assaulting flight attendants has waived a preliminary hearing scheduled for today. Leonard Sanford is suspected of getting drunk and attacking the flight attendants while traveling on Frontier Airlines from Phoenix to Denver. Federal prosecutors claim Sanford was subdued only when helpful travelers tackled him as he tried to enter the cockpit. Scheduled for arraignment a week from tomorrow, he could face up to 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. As you contemplate getting this year's Christmas tree, you do have some options. You can go to a commercial lot, or you can go to the woods and cut it down yourself. If you lean toward the latter, the U.S. Forest Service once again has set aside 10,000 acres near Buffalo Creek in Jefferson County. The Forest Service's Mary Tyler admits the trees in this area are not in prime condition.
They're not going to be as full as those that were commercially grown. Some people might call them Charlie Brown trees. Others like the open spaces between some of the branches because it shows off their Christmas ornament so much better.
And at $10, you could argue the price is right. Before you can cut that tree, though, you need a permit. Those can be obtained at the Forest Service's Morrison office on U.S. Highway 285, 6 miles southwest of Colorado Highway 470.
I, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
I am humbled, I am moved, and I am honored beyond the words to be your governor. Those words are from California's new governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as he delivered his inaugural address at the state capitol in Sacramento today. The actor-turned-politician became California's 38th governor after winning the unprecedented recall election last month. Addressing nearly 8,000 invited guests and dignitaries, Schwarzenegger said, "I took the oath to serve you." Earlier, his wife Maria Shriver opened inaugural ceremonies by reading a quotation from world-renowned poet Maya Angelou. Rush Limbaugh is back on the airwaves after a five-week hiatus. Before he left, he told his listeners that he was addicted to prescription painkillers and was going into treatment to kick the habit. While on the air today, he addressed his time off the air and in the treatment center.
I spent five intense weeks, probably the most educational and informative 5 weeks on myself and about me that I ever have spent, and I would have had no idea how to do this myself.
Limbaugh claimed the addiction had started years ago after unsuccessful spinal surgery. He said he chose to treat the pain rather than opt for additional surgery. In sports, after sitting out four games, Jake Plummer was back on the field and threw for 253 yards and three touchdowns as the Denver Broncos pounded the San Diego Chargers 37-8 yesterday. The Broncos held the Chargers to only 96 total yards and five first downs. Broncos head coach Mike Shanahan says he was proud of the defense.
It's always nice to see your defense step up and play the way they did. Anytime you hold a team under 100 yards offense, it really speaks volumes of the type of people that you do have and how hard they worked during the week and preparing for this football team.
The Chicago Bears come to Denver next Sunday to play the Broncos. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
KBDI Channel 12 provides more locally produced public affairs programming than any other television broadcaster in Colorado. Join us every Wednesday and Friday for programs that tackle the local issues seriously. KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
KNRC News Time is 105. Time to check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Home Depot at Home Services. Got a couple problems. Evans and Broadway, watch for an accident in the cleanup stages, as well as one Sheridan and Jewel. Up in the high country, we have a couple of problems for you. We have snow, so watch for that. We also have some high winds. We do have high wind advisory for the west side of the metro area, as well as in the high country, so watch for that, especially if you're driving a high-profile vehicle. Get up to a $1,000 rebate by mail on qualifying Trane heating and cooling systems. Call the Home Depot at Home Services at 1-800-79-DEPOT. License number available upon request. I'm Darren Copeland with your KEZW traffic.
I'm Mike Stenniford with the KNRC forecast. The Weather Channel, there's a high wind warning for the foothills for tonight and Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies and windy this afternoon. Our highs 55 to 60. Tonight and Tuesday, partly cloudy skies and will stay rather windy. Tonight's low 28. Tuesday's high 52. Sunny skies warmer on Wednesday, high up to 65. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 52 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35. Or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
106, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and later in this hour we're going to be joined by Washington Post reporter Will Haygood. He's written a biography of Sammy Davis Jr. called In Black and White, The Story of Sammy Davis Jr., a man who was a legendary entertainer, a member of the Rat Pack, the Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin group, and who lived a very different private life from his public persona, a little bit like Rush Limbaugh, as a matter of fact. Anyway, Will Haygood's going to be at the Tatter Cover tonight, low dose, 7:30. You can meet him later in the broadcast. Denver icon Dana, and good friend of mine, Dana Crawford, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about Jack Kerouac and what she's got cooking and a big event that she's going to be hosting, and I'm going to be there too, and lots of food, lots of wine, lots of fun. We've been talking, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about Rush Limbaugh's return from rehab. And many of you who have listened and I have not been able to, of course, talked about how much he's been talking about himself, but they did some polling and I have the new information. His return from rehab is being met with a Gallup poll showing, and this astonishes me, 51% of Americans hold an unfavorable view of Rush, while only 34% hold a favorable view of him. I'm amazed at that number. I really would have thought it might be turned around. But in any event, however, those rumors are affected by the respondents' political views, with just 12% of liberals being positive of Rush and 51% of conservatives being in his corner. So if you're a conservative, 51% of conservatives are in his corner. But Americans as a whole, only 34% hold a favorable view of him. 51% do not. They hold an unfavorable view of Rush. I am amazed by those numbers. The other thing that we were supposed to be talking about on the Fox News show that I was on over the weekend on Saturday night with John Kasich was the host of that show. He's a former congressman from Ohio. We were going to be talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Arnold has just been sworn in as the new governor of California. Arnold Schwarzenegger is remarkable for a number of reasons. First of all, you know about all the women who did not come forward to allege that he grasped and he groped them. The LA Times uncovered them. Now, there might have been some political operatives steering them in the right direction, but these were not women who came to the news media themselves for their 15 minutes of fame. In fact, most of them had studiously, except for Dr. Joy Brown, the talk host, who couldn't wait to say that Arnold tried to grope her too, and then as soon as he won the election, she wrote some more conciliatory letter to him. But these are women who really didn't want it advertised because they thought it would hurt them in any number of ways. So there were a lot of them who came forward to say that he grabbed and he groped. And he grasped. But he didn't poke. So as long as he didn't poke, I guess he's all right here. But the interesting thing is that before the election, he said when he was asked about these women, he said he'd be addressing these sexual allegations, which, of course, he never did. And then after the election, when they asked him about it, he says, ugh, that's old news. And he walked away. This is a guy who has never given an in-depth interview to the Pencil Press. Not at all. Not about on anything. And I think, and what he has also done is he has appointed a PI, a private investigator, to look into these sexual allegations. Now, do you think that this private investigator is going to come up with any real dirt? Are they going to use Jack Palladino? Jack Palladino is a San Francisco PI. I have to tell you about the PIs in San Francisco. If you're a big Dashiell Hammett fan and you read his mysteries, he wrote The Maltese Falcon. He used to work in San Francisco as a Pinkerton detective, probably in the 20s. But in any event, San Francisco has got this whole coterie of PIs, private investigators. Some of them have PhDs. I mean, it's a real brainy crowd. It's a very intellectual crowd, and they're also private investigators. And I think, I'm not for sure, but I think Jack Palladino is in that group, and Jack Palladino is the guy that the Clintons hired to quash the bimbo eruptions that surrounded Bill Clinton. So I have a feeling, someone told me this, a friend who's a reporter, but I couldn't independently verify it, but it's either Jack Palladino or a Jack Palladino-like PI who has been engaged by Arnold Schwarzenegger to dig up the dirt. Well, if he does for Arnold what he did for the Clintons, he isn't going to so much as dig up the dirt as bury it. But I think the question that is asked is, how is it that these allegations came forward and they didn't really hurt Arnold at all? And here's what I would say. First of all, he's a movie star. If it had been somebody like Pat Robertson or somebody holier than thou to be moralistic, and then suddenly you find out that there were all these sexual allegations being lodged against him, that'd be different. But nobody expected better behavior from Arnold. Arnold's a movie star. He says he apologized. He said, you know, movie sets can get rowdy. And the important thing is, again, we had grasping, we had groping, we had grabbing, but we didn't have poking. And if it got worse than that, if it got to be the real deal, or if a love child emerges or something like that, then it might affect his popularity. And the other thing we looked to for where we were going to stand on this issue is his wife, Marie. It's like Hillary Clinton. When Steve Croft on 60 Minutes did that interview with the Clintons before he ran, and when the Jennifer Flowers allegations, before he was president, and when the Jennifer Flower allegations were beginning to surface, we looked to Hillary, and Hillary was cool with it. Hillary acknowledged, they acknowledged there had been problems in their marriage, and that was code and shorthand for, we know, and it's none of your business, and we're cool with it, and we're working it out. And we figured, you know what? If it's fine with Hillary, it's fine with us. But if she's a wronged woman, then it might not be so fun. Then we'll be the enforcer. And same deal with Maria Shriver. She indicated to us that she was fine with all of this, that this wasn't a surprise. She's not blindsided. I have a feeling that Arnold is a dictator at home. And that eerily and forever chestnut hair that he's got is not a gray strand showing, and that color never varies either. It's kind of the prematurely chestnut of the prematurely orange that President Reagan used to sport. Well, here's Arnold. And so I wonder if any kind of sexual allegations could really topple him. What I think will topple him more than those, unless something really juicy emerges, is handling the difficulties in California. He's going from $30 million a picture to $175,000 a year job. And he doesn't even have a place to live in Sacramento because the old governor's mansion is a fire trap. So he's got to find a place. And his main principal residence will continue to be Los Angeles. And so, you know, here's the other thing that I think could be an issue. So be on the lookout for this. Arnold is considered a moderate Republican. But you've got a Taliban mentality in Washington that would like to open up the door to Republicans in California. And they will exert pressure on Arnold probably in some way to toe the party line. So the party line in Washington is practiced by those vicious neocons. Is very different from what's going on in California and the way Arnold has positioned himself. But he's got his hands full. He's been a successful businessman, but governing a state that is the fourth or fifth largest economy is going to be extremely challenging, and he has many, many constituencies he's going to have to deal with and satisfy. And it's not like being a private businessman where you make your decisions and you don't have to check in with that many people. So that's also what we've got cooking here with Arnold. Those are the things that we want to keep in mind as we watch him proceed. But I think he was very smart to do a no-frills inaugural. He didn't do the deal that Ronald Reagan did, which was Joan Quigley, a San Francisco astrologer, was very secretly the astrologer to Ronald and Nancy Reagan. And so she decreed that the inauguration in California had to happen a couple of minutes after midnight. Or, as Ronald Reagan quipped to his old pal George Murphy, a former vaudeville song and dance man who was a congressman or a senator from California. He said, well, George, here we are back on the Late Show together again. So there's Arnold. And he said he would address the sexual allegations before the elections. But he never did, and now the elections are over, and they asked him about it. He said, hey, that's old news. Forget about that. President Bush is preparing to go to London, I think, tomorrow. And you have got, just a whole bunch of stuff beginning to emerge about all of that. And I want to share some of it with you. First of all, according to the London Observer, the British warned us before the war to prepare properly for what could be a crumbling security situation in Iraq, and those warnings were completely ignored by Vice President Dick Cheney and by the Pentagon. So that's beginning to emerge, and some of the first direct evidence of serious divisions between key allies in the run-up to the conflict. The former British ambassador to Washington, Sir Christopher Myers, said that the U.S. had failed to focus on what might happen after Saddam had been overthrown. The British regularly raised their concerns about how much planning was going on to secure the country after Saddam, but the issue was largely ignored. One of the things that did not work out between us was a properly agreed upon strategy. So here you have Tony Blair, whose approval ratings are terrible, and it turns out so are George Bush's. Listen to this. George Bush, this is in England. These are the polling that went on apparently over the weekend. George Bush was branded a threat to world peace by a clear majority. 60% of those polled believe that he is a threat to world peace. 1 in 3, 37%, actually more than 1 in 3, said that Mr. Bush was stupid, while 33% called him incoherent. Only a minority saw positive characteristics in Mr. Bush, with just 7% regarding him as a good world leader, 6% regard him as articulate, and 10% think he's intelligent. For the first time, a majority in Great Britain said that Britain and America were wrong to go to war with Iraq. This 45% by 43%. The numbers were very different in April when 66% of the English thought it was a good idea to go to war versus 29% who did not. And remember, the English were very vocal in protesting about going to war. So I'm surprised that the figure was as high as it was, 66% in favor of going to war in April. Now dropped to 45% say that we were wrong to go to war, that both the England and the United States were wrong to go to war versus 43% who thought that we were right to go to war. There was little faith in Bush's ability to handle the continuing problems in Iraq. Fewer than 24% had confidence in Mr. Bush on Iraq, while 74% had no confidence in him. Prime Minister Tony Blair fares only slightly better, with 38% expressing confidence in him compared to 59% who do not. 47% of the English believe that Britain should continue as one of America's allies, but ought to be ready to pursue a more independent line. In other words, they are beginning to question this whole notion of the special relationship that exists between England and the United States. And it turns out that Tony Blair, as I said, some of these some other statistics that are emerging, the Sunday Times of London did a poll. 57% of Britons have little or no confidence in Blair as a prime minister. The same poll shows that about 75% have little or no confidence in Bush's handling of the war in Iraq. 60% believe he's a danger to world peace. 37% think he's stupid. With Bush in London this week, protesters lying in wait and security services are high alert amid fresh intelligence of a possible al-Qaeda attack. And it has been a source of tremendous controversy in England because Secret Service want to be able to shoot to kill if anybody attempts anything with President Bush. And in which case, if somebody's killed, they're going to be prosecuted. There's a whole controversy about that in England right now. And also the Secret Service wanted to clear vast areas and keep people from getting anywhere near President Bush to demonstrate. So there's been a huge amount of controversy in this in London. So we'll be talking about all of that. 303-382-1115. You may want to weigh in on that very topic. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. AM 1150 KNRC.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing I haven't seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, to die. It was great.
It looked painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences are roaring with laughter. The Penis extends at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness, raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves it's good, clean fun.
Hurry and get your tickets to Puppetry of the Penis. The last performance in Denver is November 23rd, so act fast.
So as you can imagine, a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the Penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at SalvationArmyUSA.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Where's your Mai Tai, sir?
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
123 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we're talking about George Bush going to England, where they don't have a lot of confidence in him. Also, somebody made the observation, does anybody buying the book on the Jessica Lynch book, somebody was talked about the parallels between how Jessica Lynch was hyped by the Pentagon and how the Bush administration sold the war to everybody was pumping it up, in other words. Everything was on steroids, and everything was Arnold Schwarzeneggerized. Here was the Bush administration sold the Jessica Lynch saga the same way it sold the war. Having decided that the existing case for toppling Saddam Hussein wouldn't sell, it apparently trumped up the evidence. Likewise, someone decided that the Jessica Lynch capture and rescue wasn't sexy enough on its own, so it had to be tarted up. And then Jessica Lynch, if she wasn't used badly by the Pentagon, was then used kind of shabbily by Random House, where they flogged some disturbing allegations that she'd been raped, and she says she doesn't actually remember. But the point of the piece is that Jessica Lynch, in spite of all this, actually conducted herself quite well. She could have succumbed to all this hype and a story on steroids, but she didn't. 303-382-1150. We're talking about President Bush. He's coming to London amidst a lot of protesting, and his Secret Service wanted diplomatic immunity on the shoot to kill issue if anybody tries anything, and the English are not going to grant it. So they would be liable for all kinds of charges if something like that happened. Shoot to kill demand by the U.S. Let me share this with you. This is kind of intriguing. The Home Secretary has refused to grant diplomatic immunity to armed American special agents and snipers traveling to Britain as part of President Bush's entourage this week. In the case of an accidental shooting of a protester, the Americans in Bush's protection squad will face justice in a British court, as would any other visitor, the Home Office has confirmed. The issue of immunity is one of a series of extraordinary U.S. demands turned down by ministers and Downing Street during preparations for the Bush visit. These included the closure. This is what the Americans wanted. They included the closure of the tube network, the use of U.S. Air Force planes and helicopters, and the shipping in of battlefield weaponry to use against rioters. In return, British authorities agreed numerous concessions, including the creation of a sterile zone around the president with a series of road closures in central London and a security cordon keeping the public away from his cavalcade. The White House initially demanded the closure of all tube lines under parts of London to be visited during the trip, but British officials dismissed the idea that a suicide bomber could kill the president by blowing up a tube train. Ministers are also believed to have dismissed suggestions that a sterile zone around the president should be policed entirely by American special agents and military. Demands for the U.S. Air Force to patrol above London with fighter aircraft and Black Hawk helicopters have also been turned down. Is this amazing? The president's protection force will be armed, as Tony Blair's is when he travels abroad, and around 250 Secret Service agents will fly in with Bush, but operational control will remain with the Metropolitan Police. Wow. The Americans had also wanted to travel with a piece of military hardware called a minigun, which usually forms part of the mobile armory in the presidential cavalcade. It is fired from a tank and can kill dozens of people. One manufacturer's description reads, due to the small caliber of the round, the minigun can be used practically anywhere. This is especially helpful during peacekeeping deployments. So ministers have made clear to Washington that the firepower of the minigun will not be available during the state visit to Britain. In return, the government has agreed to close off much of Whitehall during the visit. The usual practice in Britain is to use police outriders to close roads as the cavalcade passes to cause minimal disruption to traffic. A lot of protection for President Bush and a lot of concerns about his trip to London, where most people think he's kind of stupid. 303-382-1150, joining us, Will Haygood, who is a reporter for the Washington Post and the author of a biography of Sammy Davis Jr. It's called In Black and White, The Life of Sammy Davis Jr. He's going to be at Tattered Cover Lodo tonight at 7:30. Will, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. I know you had a wonderful press club luncheon, and so you've come over just from the press club. I've been very interested to know why now a biography of Sammy Davis Jr. He's been dead for, what, about 10 or more years?
1990 he died.
Yeah. And but he was an extraordinary entertainer.
Yes, he was. I actually thought that it would be a wonderful time. Actually, I started the book 5 years ago, and I thought it would be great to resurrect Sammy from the Rat Pack tunnel.
Tell people, a lot of listeners who weren't born until 10 minutes ago have no idea who the Rat Pack was.
Yes. The Rat Pack was a social group with Frank Sinatra, who was, you know, its leader, and Joey Bishop and Peter Lawford and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr., and they made several movies together. They did live nightclub shows in Las Vegas.
And they were a very dashing crowd that were sort of held up as role models for kind of the ring-a-ding-ding, finger-snapping crowd of how men sort of viewed themselves at that time.
Exactly. And actually,
there was a Vegas-y, very, you know, kind of macho Vegas-y mob kind of and celebrity kind of aspect to the proceedings.
Very cool, very chic, very sophisticated, you know, and just a wonderful cultural moment in the history of this country, actually. I mean, even though I think if you take Sammy out of the Rat Pack, then you just got four white guys on the stage. So I think Sammy gave the Rat Pack a kind of a wonderful social dynamic. I mean, because we were
and
still...
And an edge, kind of edge.
He did. There's no doubt about it.
And he was an extraordinary performer.
He was.
What did you find out about him that surprised you?
That there was a lot of pain in his life. I mean, you know, he was born in 1925. He went on the road to vaudeville when he was four, and he was separated from his mother. His father, Sammy Davis Sr., took him out on the road, and his mother never came after him because she had her own show business dream. So I think forever thereafter, there was a hole in Sammy's heart. And I think most mothers, of course, would go into the jaws of a lion to get their kid. Sammy Davis's mother did not, would not. And I think he was always looking for love, as simple as that sounds. And I think his mother was the cause of a lot of neediness in his life.
How different was the private persona from the public persona? He was an extraordinary entertainer, and was an entertainer from a very early age.
Yes.
Dance with the Will Mastin Trio, was that his uncle?
Not really, but that's what everybody sort of knew them as. I mean, Will Mastin was a ageless vaudevillian who was born in 1879, 13 or so years after the end of slavery, and was a showman, a black showman, in an age when there weren't very many black showmen. And he had an idea one evening to put little four-year-old Sammy on
stage.
Why
Sammy? Was Sammy talented immediately? Could you tell at the age of four that he was somebody who would really go places? Or did they just take the nearest four-year-old to them who happened to be Sammy,
Sammy
and say, we're going to make him into something?
Yeah. No, Sammy picked up things. I mean, I was able to interview about 250 people during the 5 years of work on this book, and several people who I found who worked with Sammy when he was a kid, he was able to mimic. He could meet somebody and he could mimic them 5 minutes later. And so, you know, he liked a stage. Some kids take naturally to a stage, and Sammy did.
So at the age of 4 years, he's now separated from his mother. Was his father with him at least?
Yes.
So the father went with him, but the father, did the father perform?
He was a hoofer too, yes. He was a dancer.
Okay.
Sammy Davis Sr.
So they hoofed all over the place.
Yes.
Until what age what Sammy Hooft was a dancer for a lot of years.
For a lot of years. And here's what was very shrewd about Sammy. I think he knew as he was growing up that he was the whole act. And Sammy,
Was he the whole act?
Yes.
Because he was a kid and everybody focused on him?
He was young. You know, he was youthful. You know, he was 15 and Will Mastin and his father were already 62, 63. Actually, Will Mastin much older. But so Sammy knew he was the act. And a lot of his friends in 1950s Hollywood said, you've got to get rid of these cats, man. You got to go solo. And Sammy looked at them as kind of, you know, his two fathers, and he was very sentimental toward them, and he wouldn't let them go. But Sammy was very shrewd. He wanted to play nightclubs, white nightclubs. Thus, by the end of the 60s, he had played so many high-end nightclubs, Syracuse, Detroit, Michigan, Tampa, San Diego, Dallas, Texas, all over the country, where these audiences would go home and they would say, wow, Sammy was great tonight. Wow, Sammy was so wonderful. What did you think about the kid in the middle of that act? Little Sammy Davis.
So the trio was playing nightclubs.
Yes.
He never dumped Will Mastin and his father?
Yes, he did in 1959. They just both got sickly.
And so that was a natural kind of
right
kind of thing that happened.
Yes.
So by performing in white high end nightclubs, he did a crossover. Where were the three of them performing before that? Auditoriums, what?
Hotels, smaller nightclubs.
To a largely black audience,
or to real circuit,
or to
a little bit of both. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But then when Sammy made it, you know, in the 50s, and, you know, and they started getting a name and people in Hollywood started talking about him, they were playing at the Latin Casino in Philadelphia, at Ciro's in L.A. And so they were playing
Shea Paris in Chicago,
the
probably.
Shea Paris in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
At the Copacabana in New York City. And Sammy was very proud of the places he could take these two aging Hoofers that they probably would not been able to get to without him.
Where did he learn to sing? At what point did that enter into the equation? Because he started out as a hoofer.
Right, right. Actually, he came out of vaudeville, which is the school where you got maybe an hour a night to simply convince the nightclub owner that you ought to be asked to come back next week. So Sammy started out mimicking, dancing. He would play the drums. He would play the flute. He would do jokes. He would do headstands. And he would sing. So he just had a whole ball of
whatever it took.
Arsenal, yes.
Whatever it took. And
yes.
He was, as a child, he probably ingested what he saw around him pretty well as a terrific mimic.
He was wonderful at watching and then doing. You know, he was very wonderful at that. There's a great scene in the book in 1941.
Tell me that. We're going to take a news break.
Okay.
And you as a newsman will appreciate that.
Okay.
My guest, and then tell me, and I want to ask too, because he was criticized for being interested only in white women, although his last wife was black.
Yes.
What was her name?
Altavis.
Altavis, right.
Yes.
My guest is Washington Post style reporter Will Haygood, also biographer of Sammy Davis Jr., his new book called In Black and White, The Life of Sammy Davis Jr. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover Lodo, 7:30. I mean, at Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Amica Insurance. Governor Bill Owens today appointed Joe Morales as the state's new director of public safety. In his new position, Morales will oversee the Colorado State Patrol, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, the Division of Criminal Justice, and the Office of Preparedness, Security, and Safety. Morales was the Summit County Sheriff for the past 23 years. The Larimer County Sheriff's Office now says that arson was the cause of the fire prayer at the Virginia Dale Presbyterian Church in LaPorte yesterday. The historic church, built in 1879, was burned to the ground. The only thing left was the church's sign. The sheriff's office says the investigation will continue over the next few weeks. So far, there are no suspects. Aurora police this morning found the body of a man lying in a parking lot on East Alameda. Now it's up to the Arapahoe County coroner to identify the man and determine a cause of death. Police say the African-American man was between 25 and 35 years of age. In sports, Colorado teams have the night off tonight. Tomorrow, the Avs will be back in action at the Pepsi Center against the Mighty Ducks, while the Nuggets will be in Minnesota to play the Timberwolves. Call now to discover why Amica is rated number one in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-24-AMICA. That's A-M-I-C-A, Amica Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Integrity. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News. His time is 1:38.
Do you want a warm, comfortable home? Of course. But what are you willing to pay in electricity? How about the same amount as used by a 100-watt bulb? That's what you get with a Carrier WeatherMaker Infinity gas furnace with Comfort Heat technology. Add in what WeatherMaker Infinity saves you on gas, and it's the most totally energy-efficient gas furnace you can buy, based on GAMA-DOE data, with a variable-speed fan that distributes warmth over longer cycles, eliminating drafts and hotspots. WeatherMaker Infinity, it's the most totally energy-efficient gas furnace in the universe. Besides the sun.
Hi, I'm Mike Galloway, president of Best Air Heating and Cooling Systems. Fight back against rising energy costs by installing a high-efficiency Carrier furnace in your home. You'll save up to 50% on your gas bill, and with financing up to 12 months same as cash, you can start saving today. Don't settle for less than the best. Call Mike at Best Air Heating and Cooling Systems, 303-487-8500.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Lockheed Martin. We do got a bit of a problem. Eastbound I-70 right at Colorado. Three lanes are blocked due to a gravel truck that has tipped over there. A lot of problems. Also, eastbound I-70 at Quebec. Watch for a problem there. And up in the high country, we do got some snow and high winds, so watch for that. Who can thrive with the freedom to explore? You can with the Lockheed Martin team. For details on current career opportunities, visit LockheedMartinEvents.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Steniford with the KNRC forecast. The Weather Channel, there's a high wind warning for the foothills for tonight and Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies and windy this afternoon. Our highs 55 to 60. Tonight and Tuesday, partly cloudy skies and will stay rather windy. Tonight's low 28. Tuesday's high 52. Sunny skies warmer on Wednesday, high up to 65. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Steniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, it's partly cloudy, 52 degrees. KNRC news time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
The sell-off continues on Wall Street. Dow Industrial Average is down 110 points at the moment. NASDAQ is off 33 points. The S&P 500 down a dozen. Analysts blame the losses on concerns over terrorism following a violent weekend in the Middle East. Ed Yardeni, chief investment strategist at Prudential Equity Group, says many investors were looking for an excuse.
Now we're at almost at year end. Portfolio managers, individual investors have a lot of profits. And they're a little twitchy. They don't want to give them back the way they have in the past. So perhaps this global terrorist issues are kind of a reason for selling.
Merrill Lynch is logging off, downgrading the internet sector, telling clients to sell some of their dot-coms, and someone's apparently listening. Most of the big web names are falling. Amazon down $2.50. eBay is off more than a dollar. Martha Stewart has a big date to prepare for, next court appearance set for tomorrow. She and attorneys fighting to have a securities fraud charge dismissed in the obstruction of justice trial. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
142 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me in the studio is Will Haygood. He's a Washington Post reporter. And he is the biographer of Sammy Davis Jr. His new book, In Black and White, The Life of Sammy Davis Jr. You can meet Will Haygood tonight at Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7:30. Will, we're going to get back to the Sammy Davis Jr. Well, let's go to it, because before the break we were talking about the fact that he was criticized for... Wait a minute, let me set the stage here.
Okay.
This book is written right now in the year 2003.
Right.
At a time, and Sammy Davis Jr. died in, what, 1990?
Yes.
I think it's hard for younger audiences to realize what it meant for Sammy Davis Jr. as a black performer to break through in the time and place that he did. Today, it's nothing. It's not what, well, I won't say nothing. It's never nothing to break through and become a huge celebrity. But it was so much more difficult at that time if you were a person of color.
Yes. Well, there were not any civil rights laws as we know them now. And Sammy could entertain in certain nightclubs, in hotels where he couldn't spend the night. And so that's a huge...
So he could entertain... Give me an example of what hotels, what major hotels that we might know. Are they still in existence? The Waldorf, let's say?
Las Vegas. There were a lot of hotels in Las Vegas, which Sammy didn't really like. I mean, he liked Las Vegas when he was on stage, but he didn't like it at night because he had to go find somebody's home to sleep in, a friend of his.
No hotel would take him?
No. I mean, you know, it got easier in 1961 and 62, but...
Not before that.
No. And that's a hard way to travel, to live, because you're kind of split. You know, you're a citizen on stage, but you're not a citizen. I mean, you're less than a citizen in the eyes of the hotel owners off stage, and that's painful.
You talked about Martin Luther King and a secret relationship that people probably didn't know too much about. Explain.
Yes, Harry Belafonte, leading figure in the civil rights movement, told me that whenever Martin Luther King was jailed, or many of his marchers, followers were jailed, he, King, would turn to Harry Belafonte with a two-word expression: "Get Sammy." And I asked Harry Belafonte just what exactly that meant. And he said, well, King knew that Sammy spiritually was with us. And when I needed him, he would, wherever he was at, stage a fundraiser and raise money, or talk to the nightclub owner and say, I want all the monies that we make today sent to Dr. King or the NAACP. And Harry Belafonte said, this is an unknown facet of the civil rights movement that many people thought Sammy was missing in action, and yet...
And that he was catering too much to the white establishment,
right,
to thank Frank Sinatra, but behind the scenes he was actually,
yes,
funding,
yes,
significant portions of the civil rights movement.
A lot of money, sometimes $10,000, $12,000 a week for weeks on end. I mean, that was a huge amount of money in the 1960s.
And he also was generous with... you said people around him, aging vaudevillians and,
yes,
so on, people who had been close to him or not, or just,
yes,
the people that he simply took pity on.
He came out of vaudeville, and many vaudevillians didn't make it. Many child actors never made it. And Sammy would keep people on the payroll for years. It was, you know, he just had a big heart, and I think that was a large-hearted part of his character.
At the same time, he was being kind of taunted, in a way, by guys like Frank Sinatra. Did you interview Frank Sinatra's children, or...
No, no.
For the book?
No, I did not.
Did you? What was their real relationship like?
Well, I think it was beautiful in many ways. Frank Sinatra was a very giving person. very liberal. And I think when he met Sammy in 1941, he knew that this kid in the middle of this vaudeville trio had a lot of talent. But I also think when two men start out a friendship and one man, Frank Sinatra, is way on top, that is hard to even that friendship out over the years. So they argued a lot. They fought a lot, as friends do sometimes. But there was a deep love there. There is no doubt about it. There was a deep brotherly love there, kind of big brother, little brother love there.
What about the criticism about Sammy Davis Jr. that he was only interested in white women? And this is at a time when if you couldn't get a hotel room in the hotel where you were performing, this was a very serious anathema to certain segments of the population in this country. Well, that he was dating, and he had to be pretty surreptitious about it or not.
Well, yes, in the 1950s, yes, Sammy. But you got to understand, he came of age in Montreal, Canada, sexually in the 1940s. And Sammy, absent a knowledge of his own people's history, thought he could transfer that giddiness south of the border into the United States, and he couldn't. And so he
went underground. In other words, in Canada, it wasn't a problem. If
right.
a black man and a white woman wanted to get together, nobody thought anything of it.
No, it was far more lenient.
Than here in
right.
this country.
And, yes.
In the 1940s and
right.
in the 50s.
Right. And then in 1961, of course, Sammy married May Britt, a white Swedish actress, and he received death threats for it.
There was a story that about Kim Novak and
yes.
Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Kim
Novak, the actress.
Yes. And Frank Sinatra. Well, Sammy Davis Jr. and Keeley Smith and Frank Sinatra were sitting around.
Keeley Smith's a singer.
A singer. They were sitting around, and Sammy said, "Frank, I'm going to have to go." And Frank, "Well, where in the world do you have to go that's more important than being here with me and Miss Keeley Smith?" And Sammy said, "Well, I've got a date." And Frank Sinatra said, "With who?" And Sammy said, "Kim Novak." And Frank Sinatra said, and he could be cold sometimes, he said, "Sammy, I bet I can call Kim and tell her I want to go out on a date with her, and she'll break the date." And Keeley Smith said, "Frank, don't do that. Please, don't hurt Sammy like that." And Frank Sinatra went in the other room, made the phone call, and Kim Novak broke off the date with Sammy. And it crushed him. I mean.
And then the kicker was Frank Sinatra stood up Kim Novak.
Kim Novak, yes.
So he never even showed up.
He never even
showed up. Did she ever know that story? Did she ever know what was behind that story?
I don't know. I think so. Later.
She's still around.
Yes,
isn't
she's
she?
Still living, yes.
I think in Carmel or someplace.
In Carmel, California,
well,
yes.
Maybe she runs into Doris Day there at the Safeway.
Yes.
She'll be interested to see it when she reads your book.
Yes, you're right.
And the book is in black and white, The Life of Sammy Davis Jr., the author Will Haygood. Again, why now about Sammy? Why do you see him as an important figure 13 years after his death? And I want to go into something before we get there, which is here he was supporting the civil rights movement when many people thought that he'd been missing in action.
Right.
And he'd done it quietly. How come he did not want any publicity for it, particularly to counter the charges of his critics?
I think because at the time, at the apex of the civil rights movement, let's say 1965, on Golden Boy, in Golden Boy, which was a New York stage play at the time, Sammy was appearing in that for a full year. His leading lady happened to be Paula Wayne, a white blonde. So that's his life on stage. Off stage, his leading lady, May Britt, a white blonde. I think to many people invested in the movement, emotions of the civil rights movement, no matter what Sammy did, they could look at him in the year 1965 and see on stage white lady, off stage white lady.
So he wasn't going to have any credibility either
no.
way. So he just kept it quiet.
Right.
And in the end, even though he was criticized for only going out with white women, his last wife, Alta Vis, is black.
Yes.
And she made all these allegations that she had no money. And what happened there?
Well,
at the end, did he spend it all, or were they in hock, or did she spend it all?
I think that Sammy Davis Jr., I'll just say this. He died and there was money in the bank. Now somehow it vanished and there were stories out there that he died broke. And I'll just leave it at that. He did not die broke.
What do we learn from Sammy's life, Will? What is the real revelation here?
That he was left by his mother. He lost the eye in 1954.
He converted to Judaism.
In a car accident. He became a Jew. And he lived in a time of racial trauma in this country. And yet he endured. He became a legitimate star, known as the world's greatest entertainer. He could mimic Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. They couldn't mimic him. He did Broadway. Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin did not do Broadway.
So he did films, Broadway, nightclubs,
radio.
Television, radio.
Yes. He could tap dance. And he was one of the oddest things to me, as several people have told me, is that sometimes on stage at the Sands in Las Vegas with the Rat Pack, Sammy would have to subsume his talent. He would have to
not outshine,
turn the decibel level of his talent down because Frank Sinatra would shoot him cold looks. And so, I mean, that is just astonishing to me, because on a live stage, Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin would not want to duel with Sammy Davis Jr. He would blow him away.
Well, he was a dazzling performer. Did you ever see him perform live?
No, not live. No. I've seen film clips, and he was just amazing.
Right. And he died. He smoked always on stage,
yes.
Right? And he died of, was it lung cancer?
Lung cancer, yes.
Lung cancer. At
yes.
What age?
64.
At 64, but a very jam-packed 64 years.
Yes.
A mother who abandoned him, and so he was always, what, obsessive about women? Was he a very faithful husband?
No, I don't think Sammy Davis Jr. ever mastered the role of father and husband. The only role he ever mastered in life was entertainer. I mean, it's really as simple as that. He tried.
He was able to give emotionally,
yes,
to his audiences in a way probably that he was not able to give emotionally to his children. And how many did he have?
One.
One. Girl, boy?
Adopted two boys and had one girl with Mae Britt.
And did he remain, he was not close to his children at the end?
No.
Not really?
No.
And how many wives did he have?
Three.
Three wives.
Three times, yes.
Will Haygood, it's a wonderful biography. You can meet Will Haygood tonight at Tattered Cover Lodo, 7:30. The book, In Black and White, The Life of Sammy Davis Jr. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
CSO, the Colorado Symphony Chorus, and the CSO French Horn Section, all in one performance. Join the CSO this weekend in a performance of Mozart, Schumann, and Rossini. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 21st through 23rd. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold, says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Longs, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
Sharing ideas.
Scan ideas. Email ideas.
Store ideas.
Scan ideas.
Email ideas.
Store ideas. Move ideas
forward.
The new Officio 2027 from Ricoh. The network scanning capabilities everyone's asking you for, plus 27 crisp black and white prints or copies per minute.
Share ideas quickly.
The new Officio 2027 from Ricoh moves your ideas forward.
Ideas.
Ricoh. How well do you?
Prints, copies, facts.
How well do you share?
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. The Walden Family Playhouse presents a new holiday production of the beloved classic Heidi. Join them for a special performance on Thursday, November 20th at 6:30 p.m. when all proceeds will benefit the Starlight Children's Foundation, brightening the lives of serious and chronically ill children throughout Colorado. For information on the November 20 performance of Heidi, go to starlight-colorado.org.
Get up to a $1,000 rebate by mail on qualified Trane heating and cooling systems. Call Home Depot at Home Services at 1-800-79-DEPOT. License number available upon request.
Kick off the holidays by attending the Art Reach Festival of Trees, November 15th through 30th at the Wildlife Experience. Presented by RE/MAX International, 2003 marks the 25th year of this landmark Denver holiday event, featuring gorgeous trees, wreaths, and decorations. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for kids, and all proceeds benefit ArtReach, a Colorado nonprofit changing lives through the arts. For information on the 2003 Festival of Trees, go to artreachdenver.org. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's almost 2 o'clock, but guess what? We have one more hour with each other, and joining us in the next hour, my good friend Dana Crawford will be talking Jack Kerouac, all Jack Kerouac, all the time. Lots going on in that department, and a big gathering that she's going to have, and I'm going to be there too, so maybe we can persuade you to come along as well. That's coming up in the next hour. One more hour of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC. And as always, you can join in and probably talk to, be heard by more people than you'll meet in the whole rest of your life. 303-382-1150 is the number. And in case this is a pop quiz, what do you think you're listening to anyway? AM 1150. And can you do the call letters? KNRC. I'm Enid Goldstein. And one more hour of Enid live coming up straight ahead.
KNRC. Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by local RE/MAX offices. If you plan a trip to the high country tonight or tomorrow, allow lots of extra time, or better yet, just stay home. National Weather Service forecaster Bob Koopmeiners says it'll be nasty.
We are going to have a period of wind and snow in the high country. Trough, an upper trough pushing across right now. It looks like the snow will probably decrease in the high country. We're thinking after midnight and between about 6 a.m.
Koopmeiners says winds will be at their worst tomorrow when they'll gust to 90 miles an hour. Meanwhile, in Metro Denver, we should get nothing more than a little drizzle. Investigators from the Larimer County Sheriff's Office say that arson was the cause of the fire at the historic Virginia Dale Presbyterian Church in LaPorte yesterday. The church, built in 1879, burned to the ground, with the church's sign the only thing left standing after the blaze. Someone driving past the church just after midnight Sunday noticed the building on fire. The church, which still has an active congregation, was normally left unlocked so travelers and locals could go inside for shelter during inclement weather. The sheriff's office says it will continue the investigation into the fire over the next few weeks. So far, there are no suspects. Governor Bill Owens today appointed longtime Summit County Sheriff Joe Morales to serve as the state's new director of public safety. Morales says, as a former Marine and a longtime police officer, he's aware that safety in this age of terrorism is among everyone's top priorities.
Yeah, so we can protect our citizens, that we're not only reactive but also proactive. It's one of the top issues that really tugs at my heart day to day, is I see what goes around the world and also within my state.
Morales, who has been the sheriff in Summit County for the past 23 years, replaces Sue Menser, who was nominated by President Bush for the director of the Office of Preparedness position in the Homeland Security Department. Morales will now be in charge of the Colorado State Patrol, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, the Division of Criminal Justice, and the Office of Preparedness, Security, and Safety. A local TV weekend anchorman has been arrested on a drug charge. Channel 9's Andrew Resnick was arrested outside the Fillmore Auditorium last night for investigation of possession of a controlled substance. Off-duty officers spotted the 34-year-old Resnick buying ecstasy from 28-year-old Eric Golden, then moved in for the bust. Golden was arrested for possession, distribution, and sale of a controlled substance. John Muhammad was convicted today of murder, conspiracy, and a weapons charge in one of 10 sniper killings last year. The Virginia Beach jury found Muhammad guilty on all four counts. Now the same panel will begin deliberating his sentence. Muhammad could receive the death penalty or be sentenced to life in prison. In the penalty phase, only relatives of the man killed will be allowed to testify. Muhammad was found guilty in the death of Dean Myers, a Maryland man who was shot to death while pumping gas in Virginia. The trial of Muhammad's alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, began in Chesapeake last week. California's new governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, appealed today for all Californians to join him in a new partnership with government.
I will not rest until our fiscal house is in order. I will not rest until California is a competitive job-creating machine. I will not rest until the people of California come to see their government as a partner in their lives and not a roadblock to their dreams.
Referring to a whole host of fiscal problems, he told those gathered for his inaugural ceremonies in Sacramento, quote, "There is a massive weight that must be lifted from the state. California is in the middle of a huge budget deficit, with projections expected to swell to more than $20 billion over the next 2 years. The death toll in Iraq continues to climb as two more U.S. soldiers were killed today. One soldier died and two were wounded when they were ambushed with rocket-propelled grenade and small arms fire. The other soldier was killed by a roadside bomb. Bomb attacks happened in the town of Balad, north of Baghdad. 162 soldiers have been killed in Iraq since major combat was declared over in May. In sports, Jake Plummer threw for 253 yards and three touchdowns in his first game back on the field for the Denver Broncos yesterday. The Broncos held the San Diego Chargers to less than 100 yards and pounded the Chargers 37-8. This coming Sunday, the Chicago Bears come to town to face the Broncos. Today's a day off for Colorado teams, but the Avs will be back in action tomorrow at home against Anaheim, while the Nuggets will be in Minnesota. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing I haven't seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, who died. It was great.
They look painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences are roaring with laughter. The Penis extends at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness, raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves, it's good, clean fun.
Hurry and get your tickets to Puppetry of the Penis. The last performance in Denver is November 23rd, so act fast.
So you can imagine a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the Penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Riceland Rice and Safeway, and just major problems around the metro area. Eastbound I-70 at Sheridan's closed due to a rolled tractor trailer. Eastbound I-70 at Vail. All right, it's not Vail, it's Colorado. Watch for some big problems due to a gravel spill there. And up in the high country, Loveland Pass is closed. And we're going to need chains for big rigs on all the passes, including over Eisenhower Tunnel. Need a new idea for dinner? Check for the satisfying side dish. Try cooking Riceland rice with chicken broth. Riceland, that's my rice. Look for savings on Riceland rice at Safeway. Safeway, giving our best. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. There's a high wind warning for the foothills tonight and Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies, a rather gusty wind this afternoon. Our highs will range from 55 to 60. Tonight and Tuesday will stay partly cloudy. Will stay rather windy, too, especially in the higher elevations. Low tonight, 28. Tuesday's high, 52. Sunny Wednesday, warmer, high, 65. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 52 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me in studio is Dana Crawford. I want to say something here. One of the great pleasures of moving to Denver has been making the acquaintance and friendship, really, of Dana Crawford. It's one of the best things that's happened to me. And if you don't know who she is, then I think you must have been living under a rock, because Denver has so much to be grateful to Dana for. I'm going to read, and this will embarrass her a little bit. Welcome, Dana. She's rolling her eyeballs right now.
Rolling them. That's right. Just rolling the eyes.
Dana is a founding member of Historic Denver, organized in 1970 to protect the Molly Brown House from being razed soon after when the Denver Urban Renewal Authority, DURA, slated over 20 blocks in lower downtown Lodo for demolition. Dana Crawford challenged that decision. Recognizing the importance of the neighborhood's Larimer Street to Denver's history, she organized the Larimer Square Associates. She persuaded local bankers to help fund the undertaking, and Larimer Square was preserved through adaptive reuse. It became Denver's first historic district and a model for other cities. The success of Dana Crawford's work inspired more preservation work in Lodo, and she continued to select, preserve, and adapt significant buildings, from the landmark Oxford Hotel to the Hungarian Flour Mill. A pioneer in the urban preservation movement, Dana Crawford has been honored with the nation's highest award in historic preservation, the Louis DuPont Crowninshield Award. For more than 30 years, she has been the catalyst for Denver's urban revival and has inspired the return of vibrant activity to Lodo streets. Dana Crawford, thank you for joining us today.
Well, Ina, thank you for asking me to be
She's
here.
She's blushing.
Well, you know, we spend so much time talking to one another, and now we have all this equipment between us.
But I know. Now everybody can overhear. We better watch it.
I know. No secrets.
You have got something cooking. You have done so much to preserve Lodo, and you are also developing something new, the Jack Kerouac Lofts.
That is correct.
Where are they located?
Well, they are, for most people, you would think they're west and north a bit from Coors Field. They're down in an area that's called the Prospect Area, and the address is 3100 Huron Street. And it isn't an area that's very well known to the average Denverite or a metropolitan Denverite, but it was very well known to Jack Kerouac. And that's just sort of going back to the 1950s, because Kerouac was the guy that really kicked off the Beat Generation following the Second World War, and wrote On the Road, which is an American classic. And so it was decided, at the suggestion of one of the people that we work with, Craig Archibald, that we name this very specific loft project for Jack Kerouac. And it's turned out to be, you know, a kick. I mean, people really respond to it.
I think it was great when I heard it. For those of you who were not, you know, who weren't into poetry or weren't into the Beat poets, it was Jack Kerouac. It was Allen Ginsberg and that whole group of people that launched a whole movement. And I remember studying poetry with Allen Ginsberg one summer at Naropa a long time ago. And the school of poetry at Naropa was called the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics.
Well, and of course, he was really also extremely well known for the development of what is called spontaneous prose. And he wrote on
what is spontaneous prose?
Well, you know, it's just when it's sort of stream of consciousness, and you don't have to really pay too much attention to structure.
You know what Allen Ginsberg used to be a proponent of, kind of along the same lines. Maybe it was the same idea. First thought, best thought. Just whatever popped into your head. First thought, best thought.
Well, don't you believe that's true?
I have to think about it. So here is Jack Kerouac, this spontaneous poetry. I had no idea that On the Road was written in Denver.
Well, actually, it wasn't necessarily written in Denver. There's a lot about Denver in it, and many, many quotes about Denver. And he loved Denver.
What was he doing here?
Well, he came here because of a friend that he had met, Ed White, who's a prominent architect here. He had met him at Columbia. And then he also had met Neil Cassady, who grew up in Denver and, you know, must have been the all-time character because he really spent more time in jail in his early life than out of it and grew up down in this very neighborhood where you are now. And so he wanted to get out of the East and he wanted to come West, and the whole discovery of the western part of the United States was what the On the Road is about. And all of the capers, goodness, it was quite, you know, even for my rather liberal way of thinking of lifestyle, it was a bit shocking.
Well, didn't Tom Wolfe chronicle a little bit of it later, maybe with Neil Cassady, was the bus, Ken Kesey's bus. What was that called? I'll think of it.
Further? Was that the name of the bus?
It was the name of the bus, but what was Tom Wolfe's account of it?
I can't
remember it right now. All right, so now you're developing a brand new project. Rather than preserving something that's been here for a long time, you're preserving an idea, but in the form of a brand new project.
That's correct. I guess we're preserving a spirit because, you know, we're attracting people who are sort of on the edge. And this Sunday, we're having a big event. We're going to officially launch the Jack Kerouac Lofts Project. And we have a lot of people that are devotees of Jack Kerouac coming. And I know a lot of them, and I can definitely say that they fit into the category of characters.
Who's coming?
Tom Noel and Joe Sinise from the Denver Post, and uh-huh. Bill Saslow and Craig Archibald from our office, and Dennis Gallagher, the city auditor, is going to do a fascinating reading about what a prophet Kerouac was, because he actually, you know, talked about the Arabs coming into New York and blowing up buildings.
Kerouac did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of students that are in Tom Noel's history classes. And
for people who don't know Tom Noel, he's
Dr. Colorado. He writes a column for the Rocky Mountain News, and he's been around for a long, long time, and he teaches history, and he teaches preservation, and he takes people on tours of all the old bars down here in lower downtown. And he's highly entertaining. And he might show up this afternoon, who knows. But if you've not met him, why, you know, most people, I'm sure a lot of your visitors would know him and would have gone on tours with him, because it's just a whole lot of fun. But he's a Kerouac fan. And so we'll have readings, and we're going to have some original poetry. We're supposed to have a rapper. We're supposed to have a couple of lookalikes for Jack Kerouac.
Don't comb your hair.
And it goes on all afternoon from 2:30 down at 3100 Huron, and also at our office, which is just a couple of doors away. And
this is this Sunday.
This Sunday, starting at 2:30, it's free, and there'll be a lot of wine and cider and opportunity, if you have a passion about this thing, to get up and talk or sing or do whatever. And then we're ending the afternoon with a special recipe that Jack Kerouac liked a lot. It's called garbage stew. And then he traveled across the country. He had no money, but he liked apple pie a la mode. So we're also having apple pie a la mode.
And this is all free?
It's all free.
Do we have to RSVP to this?
Oh, yes. You really need to RSVP.
Okay, so
you
be sure.
We have about 100 places, and we have about 60 already. So, and you will be there.
I'm going to be there.
I hope you'll be there, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm adding the garbage to the stew. All right, what number? How do we RSVP?
You can call our office, which is 303-892-1888. And
303-892-1888.
That's right. And just let them know that you'd like to come. And most of the people, there are a lot of people who have already bought lofts in the Kerouac loft.
But it has yet to be built.
Oh, no, it's just, you know, we have just models and a lot of graphics so that people can really understand. In fact, the website is totally amazing if anybody wants to look at it. It's www.prospectlofts.com.
P-R-O-S-P-E-C-T.
Prospect. And the average time people are sending on that website is 16 and a half minutes.
Really?
Which you really can see a lot. You can see what the loft looks like. You can see what your view will be out the window. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is my good friend Dana Crawford, and she has been one of the best things to happen in my life, and I think one of the best things to happen to Denver. She made her mark as a preservationist. One of her marks as a preservationist. We're talking about the Kerouac Lofts that she's developing, and an event on this coming Sunday starting at 2:30, but you have to RSVP. Lots of poetry, lots of characters, lots of Jack Kerouac, lots to drink and lots to eat, but be sure to RSVP. Dana, I want to ask you, how did you know, I mean, you know, you went to school in Kansas and then you were part of a business management program at Harvard Radcliffe, you know, under those auspices. And when you moved to Denver, you, refresh my memory, you were getting married, you got married here, or were you already married when you moved
to
Denver?
No, I was not married.
When you moved to Denver.
Right. And I went to work pretty early on with a public relations firm that's still here, Koska and Associates. And I really got to know the city very well, very quickly. And I met my husband and got married
in Denver.
In Denver. And then we proceeded to have four little boys.
In the span of about 10 or 15 minutes, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's the way it felt. and so, you know, those were very productive years, but not so productive in terms of a career. And then I just, Enid, I just got possessed by an idea. The Larimer Square thing just...
How did that take hold? I mean, why? Here you were. I would guess that if I asked you, did you see yourself doing this, I would guess that you had no knowledge that this is what you were going to do, but that it sort of came on you.
Well, that would be a good description. You know, it became kind of a disease.
How did it happen?
Well, it's a long, long story, but I think you could summarize it by saying that John Crawford and I were drinking martinis one night.
Oh, by the way, I have to issue a correction. It's Prospect Place Lofts.
Right, right.
ProspectPlaceLofts.com and Kerouac, K-E-R-O, how do you spell it? O-U-A-C-L-O-F-T-S.
Right.
KerouacLofts.com.
What
okay.
did I say?
I think you said Prospect Lofts. It's Prospect Place Lofts.
All right.
So
well,
we have to get this right on the website.
Right.
All right. So you were having martinis with John Crawford,
right.
your husband.
Right. And I had read an article about Gaslight Square in St. Louis. And St. Louis was one of the cities that I knew quite well. And I wanted to go and look at the project because I just had this idea that was sort of bubbling around about that Denver was such an interesting, nice place. But it didn't seem to have a place that was rooted here where everybody could go and celebrate the city. So I went to Gaslight Square in St. Louis, and that turned out to be a very educational trip because I learned what not to do, and that's very important.
What did you learn not to do?
It was all different owners, and they couldn't agree, and the area had become rampant with crime and vagrants and was no longer really an attractive destination, although the remnants of a very attractive place were there, some fabulous restaurants, some really good night spots, galleries, and nice shops, but it was going downhill. So I determined that we really had to get control of a lot of the property, and I didn't really know which block it was going to be. I looked, you know, there were a number of places in Denver where this could have happened, but I just kept going back to the 1400 block of Larimer. And then when I started doing research on the history of the block, why it was, there was no question that it was to be that block, because really everything in Denver started in the 1400 block of Larimer.
Such as?
Well, you know, the first post office was there. The first library was there. There were three churches there at one time. There were, of course, a lot of bars. Even though it was just a little microcosm of the community in that one block, and they were all little frame buildings. And this was pre-Civil War days and through the Civil War. And then,
when did Denver really get going, around after the Gold Rush?
Well, it happened because of the Gold Rush, and it was one of the very last frontiers to be established because, you know, the Gold Rush to California was in 49, and right. We didn't get started until 58. And Denver didn't really get on the map until the railroads came in the 70s. And they were supposed to go through Cheyenne, and the city fathers got together and raised enough money in a very short period of time, I think it was about 3 weeks, to get a spur to come down from Cheyenne to Denver. And at one point, there were over 100 railroad lines that came into the Union Station that all had to do with mining, et cetera. But that we, you know, transportation is always the hookup.
My guest is Dana Crawford, a preservationist. I have to thank you because, see, I come to Denver late in the game at a time when I get when I didn't see that Lodo was filled with the kind of crime and vagrancy people tell me about. I see a wonderful, vibrant area that you had had a lot to do with, so I thank you for that. And the Jack Kerouac Lofts, we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we continue. But if you want to go on Sunday, I'm going to be there, and it starts at 2:30, and a lot of other people are going to be there as well. And you can book by give me the number again, Dana. What
303
is it?
893-892-1888.
You have to RSVP. They'll put your name on a list. And there'll be a whole lot of talking and reading and eating and drinking going on. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, how are those juggling classes going?
Oh, great. I'm ready for the big time. Pass me those chainsaws, would you?
What?
Oh, jeez. Oh, no, I'm okay.
Now, that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:26 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me in studio, Dana Crawford, my good friend, and Denver preservationist and raconteur, bon vivant, fabulous cook, and lots of other accomplishments, too numerous to mention. But we're talking about an event she's going to be having this Sunday. I'll be there. This is in honor of Jack Kerouac and in honor of the Jack Kerouac Lofts. And it's going to start at 2:30, and there are going to be Jack Kerouac lookalikes, and there's going to be all kinds of food and stuff to drink and music, and the smallest radio station in the universe is going to be there, and you can only hear it for like about two blocks. I think it's that small. And that's Sunday at 2:30, and you have to RSVP in order to go, and it'll be a wonderful celebration of Jack Kerouac's life. 303-892-1888. No charge. It's completely free. And there's also something else you're involved in called Prospect Place Lofts. What is that, and is that near the Kerouac Lofts?
Well, it's about a block from the Kerouac Lofts, and it's really the original effort that we've been making in the Prospect area, which is in the Platte Valley. And a lot of people don't understand that out there in the Platte Valley, where all the railroad tracks used to be a few years ago, the tracks are gone and things are really happening, and especially in terms of residences. And essentially it follows the river, and the river's been all cleaned up and is quite an amenity. And we're doing a village there, which is ultimately going to have 400 loft units in it and a little retail enclave around a piazza. And it's definitely designed to emulate Italian villages. Therefore, I have to go to Italy pretty often for research.
Well, take me with you, and I'll help. I'll carry the luggage and help with the taking the notes.
The first building has been completed, which is called the Ajax Building, and you would think, well, it would have an Italian name. But the second use of the land down there after the Italians, originally the land was used by the Italian immigrants. So, you know, I always say the land is soaked with red wine and garlic, and those are good things.
Yes, they are.
We know that.
Yes, that's true.
But at any rate, it's very, very attractive. The first building is Ajax, and there are 49 lofts there.
Ajax, named for the mine?
It's named for the mine, yeah, because after the Italians were there, then the manufacturers came in, and they did a lot of mining equipment. And so the Ajax mine in Aspen, and then every single one of the ultimately seven buildings is named for a famous Colorado mine that hopefully has had a happy ending, because some of our mines didn't have such happy endings. But, you know, people are getting the idea, and this piazza is going to be a great, big, wonderful, you know, space to sit outside and enjoy Colorado and people watching. And we're building a community, and, you know, our little crew of hardworking people, we're very, very excited about this project. And, of course, you know, every day while you see another little piece go into place, and it's extremely complicated, and you have to figure out about all the parking, and working with the city has been quite challenging. And now, you know, people are beginning to move in, and we're not the only ones developing in the area. There are others, and so it's just a great expansion of lower downtown Denver, just going right down to the Platte River.
How do we get there? Where is Prospect Place?
Well, if you go to out on 20th, go to, if you're going from downtown, you'd go to Coors Field and then go west on 20th, just a couple of lights, and you'd hit Chestnut. Turn right on Chestnut, and then you kind of go straight if you're going to go to the Prospect Place Village and to the Ajax Showroom. Or if you want to go around to Kerouac, you turn right on 29th, left on Huron, and go down to the end of the street, and you'll see the site. And that's where people would go on Sunday. They would go in on Chestnut and then turn right on 29th and left on Huron and go down to where the cars are parking. There's a big parking lot down there. And if it's cold, obviously people should dress warmly.
Because it's going to be outside.
It's going to be, well, some of it's going to be outside, but most of it's inside. But we'll be outside probably 10 or 15 minutes, long enough to get really chilled, even if you're drinking hot cider. And so people need to plan ahead a little bit. It's supposed to be nice this weekend, but who knows? We live in Colorado.
I've noticed. So the palace, all right, so the website then is prospectplaceloft.com, and Ajax is up, and how many units does Ajax have?
49.
Are there a lot of women developers around? Not too many, I wouldn't think.
Not too many, but there are more and more now.
So this is, you break ground in that respect as well. And you're saying that these are three-dimensional. For the one, even the Kerouac Lofts have not been built yet. So you're going on the, people are buying these things. This is astonishing to me. Sight unseen, they're not yet built, and they're already buying them. And they're buying them on the basis of this incredible three-dimensional website.
Well, Company 39, which has a big office here, is in the business of developing websites that are very, very remarkable. The website for the Ajax building, you can actually move furniture around on the floor plans. you can just design your whole place right there on the website. And then they do the 3D imaging, which brings a place to life. And very soon we will be able to see the piazza. We'll be able to look in the store windows. We will see the cars going by. We will see people walking around. It visually brings the project to life. And that's really essential because we're required by our banks to pre-sell the lofts.
You can't build it first.
You can't build it.
You have to pre-sell it first.
They won't gamble that they will come. And but it's from everybody's perspective, it's a very nice thing because you know that the marketplace is there and Denver's, you know, undergoing a kind of a slow marketplace. And
well, now, why would people want to buy one of these lofts?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons for that. One is that there are a great many people and they're kind of young. It used to be that people who bought lofts were boomers and empty nesters. Now the people that we see buying are younger. They're part of that kind of creative class that Richard Florida wrote about. They want the idea of being able to live downtown and have fun for a while before they get too serious about life and have to move to the suburbs and do babies and lawnmowers. And you know, it's a very logical sort of step to take. And
can they afford these lofts?
Well, yes, they can, and of course.
What do they start? Where
well,
do we know?
We have 10% of all the lofts are affordable, and that's by ordinance, and those start out at about $160,000.
You have to be in a certain income category.
You have to be in a certain income
in order to be able to buy
right.
a lot. And is that a one bedroom loft at $160,000?
Well, it would be the equivalent. One of the things you know that you understand about lofts is it's pretty much open living, right. but then you can kind of design your own place. And they go on up. The top-priced unit in Ajax is $600,000. But they're mostly in that middle area, and that's where the market is at this juncture, around $250,000 to $350,000. And there are a lot of people that are looking for something a little bit larger. People who've lived downtown for a while in a fairly small space are ready to move up. So, you know, it's an interesting sort of thing. And we're after the creative people. We think it's really fun to be involved.
This is a miserable economic environment, or it has been.
Well, but you know, Enid,
so are there people out there who are able to do this?
Well, there certainly are. And, of course, the loans are the best that I've ever seen them. The way that you can finance things with essentially nothing down, no closing costs. Why pay somebody rent when you can be paying yourself to build equity? I guess I should be giving you that lecture.
You should be.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk. My guest is Dana Crawford. She's done an awful lot for Denver, and we can repay the favor on this coming Sunday, the 23rd. I'll be there. It'll be a wonderful celebration of Jack Kerouac's life. I want to talk to you more about some of the preservation you've done down here. I know you're on the Union Station Committee, and you go to those long and tedious meetings all the time, and you help to save the very building that we are in right now. And as we continue, we'll discuss that. We're in an historical, not what you call the most glamorous. We get this. We are above the old spaghetti factory, but it's a very old, very charming,
and very important building.
And we're going to find out why, other than the fact that KNRC Radio is headquartered here. I'm Enid Goldstein, my guest Dana Crawford. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Amica Insurance. Someone set the fire at the historic Virginia Dale Presbyterian Church in LaPorte yesterday. Investigators from the Larimer County Sheriff's Office say arson was the cause of the blaze at the church, which was built in 1879 and burned to the ground yesterday. No suspects yet, but the Sheriff's Office will continue the investigation during the coming weeks. The U.S. Supreme Court has let stand a lower court ruling which upholds an affirmative action program in Denver that helps minority and female-owned businesses win construction contracts. The law had been challenged as a form of discrimination in 1992 by the Concrete Works of Colorado, which is owned by a white male. After serving as Summit County Sheriff for 23 years, Joe Morales is now Colorado's Director of Public Safety. In his new position, Morales will oversee the Colorado State Patrol, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, the Division of Criminal Justice, and the Office of Preparedness, Security, and Safety. In sports, no game for Colorado's pro teams tonight. The Avs, though, will play host to the Mighty Ducks tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center, while the Nuggets will travel to Minnesota to play the Timberwolves. Call now to discover why Amica is rated number one in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-24-AMICA. That's A-M-I-C-A. Amica Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Integrity. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:36.
KBI Channel 12 is your public television source for reliable public affairs and international news programming every day of the week. Unafraid of dissent and debate, KBDI Channel 12 features diverse perspectives on local issues and challenges our viewers to be a voice in their own community through Colorado's only television viewer call-in shows. Tune in every Wednesday night for Colorado Inside Out Live and Draw in the Line with Reggie Rivers. And don't miss BBC World News weeknights only on KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt, a car payment, and a student loan.
Ow.
To get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
KNRC News Time is 2:37. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Sweet Tomatoes. Eastbound I-36, that's Boulder Turnpike, closed at Sheridan due to rolled-over semi. Still trying to get the traffic out of the way. Eastbound I-70 at Colorado. Three lanes were blocked out due to a gravel spill there. Up in the high country, we do have problems. The Loveland Pass is closed, and you will need chains if you're running a big rig through the Eisenhower Tunnel. Get to Sweet Tomatoes this week for a steaming bowl of cream of rosemary potato soup and a warm taffy apple muffin topped with a toffee crunch. Oh, so good. Sweet Tomatoes. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Steniford with the KNRC forecast. The Weather Channel, there's a high wind warning for the foothills for tonight and Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies and windy this afternoon. Our highs 55 to 60. Tonight and Tuesday, partly cloudy skies and will stay rather windy. Tonight's low 28. Tuesday's high 52. Sunny skies warmer on Wednesday, high up to 65. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Steniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 46 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's a month of special Ellen events with Ellen's Makeover Madness.
Do you like it?
Every Thursday, viewers choose a whole new look for Ellen.
I think she looks H-O-T.
I know what you're saying. You don't have to spell.
And all month, a dating show twist. Ellen's lovable assistant, Jeff, a studio of eager home viewers. And Ellen, she's the matchmaker.
Anybody in love yet?
And next Ellen, Lauren Graham and Frankie Muniz. Ellen.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
Hey, Kirk, what are you doing?
Kim, I'm writing a jingle about 4 o'clock at 9 News, airing right after Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, listen. Today, after Ellen, we are telling all the news you need to know, and whether it's snowing or not. Watch 9 News, 4 o'clock, because we're telling you the news
after
Ellen. What?
I like it, but before the big finish, you need the announcer to say, watch the Ellen DeGeneres Show at 3, followed by 9 News at 4.
After Ellen, after Ellen, after... This will never make it on the air.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Wall Street's major averages rallied late, but still closed lower. Some analysts say investors were a little nervous following several terrorist attacks overseas. Let's check those numbers. The Dow Industrials fell 58 points to 97.11. The Nasdaq lost 21 points to 19.10. The S&P 500 slid 7 points to 1,044. Big board volume was about 1.3 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a more than 2-to-1 margin. American Express, the Dow's biggest drag today, sliding $1.40 a share. American Express is planning to raise nearly $2 billion in a bond offering. It expects to use this money for general corporate purposes. And no joy in Toyland. Toys R Us was one of the day's big losers, sinking 12% after issuing a profit warning for the year. The retailer also is closing its Kids R Us and Imaginarium chains. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
241 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me, my good friend Dana Crawford, who has played an enormous role in preserving Denver and Larimer, beginning with Larimer Square, and has a couple of new projects on tap, one of them called Kerouac Lofts, and you can access it kerouaclofts.com. And Kerouac is spelled K-E-R-O-U-A-C, I think.
That's
correct.
Have I got
that right? .com and Prospect Place Lofts, P-R-O-S-P-E-C-T, placelofts.com. Incredible three-dimensional kind of website. I haven't seen it, but I've heard marvelous things about it. And you are all invited to an event this coming Sunday, November the 23rd, starting at 2:30. I will be there. Dennis Gallagher will be there. Jack Kerouac lookalikes will be there. There will be music and dancing and reading and all kinds of shenanigans. And you have to, RSVP is the only thing you have to do. It's completely free, 303-892-1888. 303-892-1888. As befits a preservationist, Dana Crawford sits on a lot of committees, and one of the things I know you've been dealing with is Union Station. Talk to me about Union Station and why that's been so important, because what we're seeing in the newspaper is that the consultants' fees have become more or less astronomical here. So, and I know you sit through our... It's one thing to be a preservationist, but I think what people don't realize is the tedium, the hard work, the hands-on that's involved in saving buildings or in preserving what ought to be preserved in Denver. Talk about that a little bit, Dana.
Well, I might speak about the consultants because I think that the representation in the newspapers has been somewhat unfair because I've worked with these consultants, and it is a very, very complex project. It's 19 acres. It has an historic, a very important historic building right in the middle of it that must be saved and utilized.
Union Station.
Right. And it will serve the light rail. It will serve the heavy buses, the light buses. It will serve the heavy passenger rail and all of the taxis and vans and all of the transportation modes that have to do with being a hub. And it will be a hub, and it will be now it has it's hooked into the 16th Street Mall. It is hooked into the run to Littleton, which has been enormously successful. It's running at 2015 levels now. When it first opened, it was running 80% ahead of projections. And next that will open when the T-Rex project is finished is the run to the Tech Center.
Will we ever be able to get to the airport from Union Station?
Yes, ultimately. I think that that is really one of the last runs, but...
Oh, I wish I could just walk right over there from the office and get on a shuttle or whatever will take me to DIA.
Well, everybody does, and I think we're looking forward to that, and it is a possibility. And the Fast Tracks project, which the Regional Transportation District has just finalized, I think, and of course it's very, very political because now that Littleton has this very successful run, while a lot of the other suburbs, of course, want their successful run. And I work a lot in Arvada, and initially the run was just to go to Old Town Arvada, but now it will go on out to Ward Road.
Why so successful, do you think? Just people are it just speaks to people's needs. It's easy just to get on get to where you need to go?
We have a lot of congestion on our roads. We have road rage. It's an unpleasant experience many times to drive in from one of the suburbs. And people have found out that riding on the train, the light rail, is a completely delightful experience. And besides that, you save money.
You don't have to worry about parking.
You don't have to worry about
brings parking. You right into Lodo. You
Absolutely.
Can just get one of the mall shuttles or walk
exactly.
from Union Station and
exactly.
go if you want to go out and have dinner or go to one of the clubs or something.
Right. And a lot of people that don't even work downtown are taking the shuttle in to the station at night and having a really good time. And then they just get on that shuttle and go back to their neighborhood.
So if they've had a cocktail or a martini or two.
They don't have to worry about it.
They don't have to worry about it.
And I've talked to a lot of people who do that. It works out very, very well. So, you know, the future is very, very bright for this part of town because, I mean, the historic district is protected and it's very healthy. There's a lot of housing happening down here. And now this piece of getting the transportation hub put back into place. And it's really kind of full circle from, 100 years ago.
Bringing people back into, making it easy to come into Lodo, for example,
exactly.
Spend money, have a great time on the town, and then go on back
right.
home.
Right, and of course, just the business of getting to your work without an enormous investment. I think that the average American, you don't really think about it, but they spend about a third of their income on transportation.
Really?
Well, the automobile payments, the gasoline.
What percentage of our lives do we spend sleeping?
Much less than it used to be.
I've been trying to correlate those two figures of spending time on transportation but spending time sleeping, and maybe we can combine the two. Talk about the building that we're in. We're in an historic building. We are above the old Spaghetti Factory in delightful downtown, in delightful Lodo, and the smell of garlic usually pervades the hallways and everything else, which is kind of fun. But this building is a very old building. I think, about 1898 or so when it was built?
Probably. I would have placed it before that, but I don't remember exactly. Certainly.
There's something in the cornerstone up above. I'll read it again.
Right. But all of this Urban Renewal Authority development that's down just immediately east of Lodo was something that got voted through in 1967. It was very controversial. And Larimer Square preceded it. That's the reason we were able to save Larimer Square, even though it was a continuous fight. But
Who did you have to fight?
With the Urban Renewal Authority. Now, they've changed completely. They like old buildings now, and they saved the Denver Dry Goods building, and they've done a lot in terms of preservation.
But at that time, the mindset was newer is better and tear down
old buildings. Get rid of this junk. I mean, there were a lot of sort of bums living on Larimer Street, and a lot of times I've found across the nation that people equate social activity with the health of the buildings. And, it can be a perfectly gorgeous building. And if it's just fallen on hard times in terms of its users, well, then they say, well, just mow it down. But this building, the cable building, was supposed to be protected in the overall urban renewal plan. And the Urban Renewal Authority decided that they could just get rid of it. So there was a fight. And I went to mayor council meeting and Jimmy Sudler got really involved with it. And then Jimmy Judd, who's still the owner, stepped up with an investor group and bought the building. And there really couldn't be any more. The law was on our side, and the economics were on our side. So the building got saved. And I can't imagine how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people a year go to the Spaghetti Factory. And now, listen to you.
And none of this would happen if you hadn't saved the building.
Well, there were a lot of us that worked on saving the building.
Well, see, as someone who's only been in Denver about a year and a half, I come to Denver and I see this wonderful section called Lodo, where there are old buildings that have been preserved. I see the tattered covers in one of them. I see just this whole section, and to me it looks wonderful. To me, it looks like a lot of thought and a lot of effort had gone into it instead of just mowing it down the way a lot of historic districts were mowed down during the days of urban renewal. And then this whole sameness comes up and everything. And then, and then 30 or 35 or 40 years later, it all looks junky and all the character is completely evaporated, which it was probably the minute they mowed down all the old buildings. I come to Denver and I see this wonderful preserved area, and I'm just thrilled.
Well,
it makes all the difference in the world. And when I talked to friends in California, when I said I was moving here, everybody said, "Oh, Denver is so interesting. Lodo is so interesting." I got a lot of advance word, and it's through your hard work and a lot of people like you, or we wouldn't have this.
Well, it is a point of great pride for Denver, and certainly for downtown Denver. And I think it's more healthy economically than really any other section of downtown, because people want an office down here, they want to live down here, they want to have fun down here, they want to stay at the Oxford Hotel. And it really all happened because of an ordinance that was passed in 1988 that I wasn't particularly in favor of. But now I think it was just the greatest thing that happened. And everything that happens in lower downtown goes through design review. So it will be protected in the future. And before 1988, it was not protected.
But, here we are. We're living, Dana, in a society where people barely vote. A third of us maybe go to the polls to vote presidential elections. People don't read the newspapers as they should. I think there's a kind of passivity where we expect that things will happen, but unless you roll up your sleeves and do it, sometimes things don't happen. And you're somebody who rolled up your sleeves and you did it. It must have been countless hours of meetings and hard work. I mean, what went into it?
Well, that's what always goes into it, you know, is a lot of time and effort and patience, enormous.
Did people tell you didn't have a chance up against the power structure when here you are, a mom of four small children, small boys,
right,
and you've decided to take this on? Did people try to discourage you and say you'll never win? You don't have a chance against the power structure. Who do you think you are? You're Mrs. Housewife?
Well, I mean, you're quoting a lot of people, but there was a lot of encouragement also, and you know, if you believe in something, well, you just have to keep working on it, or it never will happen. And obviously, Larimer Square was a turning point for downtown Denver, and then people kind of got the idea, and there was a lot of activity. And then when we started doing housing in downtown Denver, well, that idea really caught on in a hurry, and many developers came along. And so that's the reason that we have this sort of law of cumulative attraction in action in Lodo. And I'm glad you like it, and people come
in all the time. I like it a lot. But you had to have been the object of a certain amount of ridicule in the beginning. It must have given you some satisfaction when you turned out to be right.
It seems to be a habit pattern.
Never underestimate Dana Crawford. All right, so this Sunday, we better get our dancing shoes on and get over to make the RSVP first at 303-892-1888. We're going to be celebrating the life of Jack Kerouac, the famous beat poet whose signature work is On the Road. And we'll be on the road this Sunday starting at 2:30. We'll be able to eat and drink and theoretically make merry. And how do we get there again?
Again, if you're coming in off of I-25, you turn on the 20th and go to Chestnut and turn left. If you're coming from downtown, you go on 20th to Chestnut and turn right. And then in a very short distance, the equivalent of a block, you turn right on 29th. Another block, you turn left on Huron. And I think then you'll see where the action is. And there'll be a lot of signs, too. I've just been writing signs according to the old Burma Shave sign.
Oh.
Then they end up with Jack Kerouac. But look for the signs.
And that's this Sunday. And if you're thinking about buying a place in Lodo, with now that the interest rates are so great on mortgages, you want to go to two websites. One is KerouacLofts.com, and the other one, ProspectPlaceLofts.com. Interesting websites, and in Prospect Place, one building is already up, and that's Ajak Kerouac Lofts. When do you expect to break ground for Kerouac Lofts?
In December.
This coming December. And how long will it take to build?
1 year.
1 year?
1 year, and we're over half sold already.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to go to the website. Dana Crawford, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Ian.
A great pleasure, as always.
Thank you.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Locally owned, locally programmed, AM 1150 KNRC. Hear ye, hear ye, and welcome to our royal celebration. Disney on Ice presents Princess Classics. It's the seven most enchanting stories of all time, with all your favorite princesses, brave heroes, and funny friends in one amazing live show. Get Cinderella to the castle in time and dance at the royal ball. Dive into an undersea party with the Little Mermaid and Sebastian. Journey to the Sultan's castle and escape on a magic carpet ride with Aladdin and Princess Jasmine. Help brave Mulan fulfill her heroic destiny. And join Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty for a dazzling celebration of romance, fun, and adventure. Live in your hometown, Disney on Ice, Princess Classics. Get tickets today and let the happy endings begin.
Coming to the Pepsi Center, December 10th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or call to charge by phone.
If you spend up to a third of your life in bed, shouldn't you make it as comfortable as possible? Yet most people spend night after night tossing and turning. But what if you could toss and turn less and sleep better? Guaranteed. You can with a Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call for a free sample at 1-800-318-2121 and feel this amazing material for yourself. The Tempur-Pedic bed reduces the pressure points that can make you toss and turn. You're guaranteed to sleep more soundly, wake up more energized. Even if you have back or neck problems, Tempur-Pedic offers unprecedented relief. That's why over 25,000 medical professionals worldwide recommend it to their patients. But you should feel it for yourself. Call 1-800-318-2121 for a free sample of the Tempur material, plus a free Better Sleep video. You spend up to a third of your life in bed. Get the best rest you can. Call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-318-2121. That's 1-800-318-2121.
Winter is just around the corner, and sometimes it's difficult to make ends meet. If either you or your aging relatives are having trouble, you may be able to help them find benefits. AARP and the National Council on the Aging are helping people complete a benefits checkup to find programs that save money on groceries, medical care, energy bills, and more. Call 303-318-6764 to learn more. 303-318-6764. AARP, the power to make it better.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Lemon Sponge Cake Ballet is a cutting-edge contemporary ballet troupe embracing off-center, on-point balances and high energy and passionate dance. Called by the Rocky Mountain News, strikingly original, endlessly creative, and thoroughly contemporary, enjoy their new show, Love Crimes, a full-length evening of exquisite dance at the Dairy Center in Boulder, November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Tickets are only $18 and are available right now at www.lemonspongecake.com.
Time is money. If your checking account isn't earning interest, you're wasting time. Stop by any KeyBank today for their free checking account with interest. Account early closure fee applies. The solution is Key. Member FDIC.
Talk to Doug Kellett.
There's more good economic news. I keep thinking that for those who are really hoping that Bush doesn't win re-election in 2004, there are a couple of things I guess have to happen for this to probably occur. And one of them is the economy can't turn it around. And I'm just wondering, what are you going to do now? If things start doing well, if you're stocks start doing well, what's going to happen? For those of you that want Bush to bite the dust in 2004, do you have to root against maybe an economic recovery?
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
2:58 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours just for a couple of minutes more, and then Doug Kellett takes over. And I just want some breaking news. Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman, who do the show Style Matters on Saturday mornings, are going to be featured on the Channel 4 10 o'clock news tonight. They're going to be featured in a segment on how to save thousands of dollars on skincare products. That's tonight on Channel 4, the news at 10, and Channel 4, of course, is our television partner, and I was on Fox News over the weekend, so all of us radio folks are having our 15 seconds of television exposure. It is, it's like sex. You know, spend all day getting ready, and it's over in about 10 seconds. 309, why am I giving the numbers? We're just about out of time, but I have people to thank today, and that's Joe Anderson, who did a wonderful job of producing, Jordan Lyles, our technical director, and the guy who keeps us on the air, and the musical director, and the director of Olympic Games and other special activities, and pizza procurement, all of that. Tomorrow, we're going to have the novelist Tobias Wolff with us live in the studio. During the week, we have many more. We have Rita Mae Brown, and lots of other guests this week. So lots cooking on Enid Live. I'll see you tomorrow, noon to 3. Do something generous. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Doug Kellett, 3 to 6, and Dominic and Billy, 6 to 9, right here on
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Home Depot at Home Services. The U.S. Supreme Court has let stand a lower court ruling which upholds an affirmative action program in Denver that helps minority and female-owned businesses win construction contracts. Chief Justice William Rehnquist and Justice Antonin Scalia dissented. The law had been challenged as a form of discrimination in 1992 by the Concrete Works of Colorado, which is owned by a white male. In issuing his dissent, Scalia said Denver had failed to show the program was tailored to remedy past racial discrimination in the city's construction industry. He said Denver, quote, has been using racial preferences in public contracting for a generation, and there is no indication that this will be anything other than business as usual for the foreseeable future. Under the amended 1998 version of Denver's program, annual participation goals for minority and female-owned businesses total 10% each for the amount spent on construction and design contracts. The weather in the high country is getting nasty with a